Even if I were pollinated and fully vaccinated, I would admire the unvaccinated for withstanding the greatest pressure I've ever seen. From partners, parents, children, friends, colleagues, and even doctors.
COVID vaccines are now available for children 5 years and older.
Just get vaccinated.
Get the vaccine.
Just get the vaccine.
People who are capable of such personality, courage, and critical ability are undoubtedly the best part of humanity.
There are many thousands of physicians who have been silenced from telling the American people the good news about the situation, that we can manage the virus.
They are everywhere, in all ages, levels of education, states, and ideas. They are of a special kind. They are the soldiers that every army of light wants to have in its ranks. They are the parent that every child wants to have, and the children that every parent dreams of having.
A North Carolina teenager needs a new kidney in order to save her life, but her doctors say no COVID vaccine, no transplant.
Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
They are beings above the average of their societies.
You need to evaluate the risk factor in the COVID vaccine.
They are the essence of the people who have, well, built all cultures and conquered horizons. They are there, next to you. They look normal, but they are superheroes. They did what others could not. They were the tree that withstood the hurricane of insults, discrimination, and social exclusion.
Now, what really stands out about white anti-vaxxers in particular is that they act like their freedom has been taken.
It has nothing to do with freedom.
Screw your freedom.
You don't have the freedom and the liberty to put other people in jeopardy.
Banned from their family's tables at Christmas, they never saw anything so cruel.
If someone in your family isn't vaccinated, should you ask them not to show up?
Yes, I would do that.
If you are not fully vaxxed, stay home.
Everyone from police to teachers to firefighters must comply or they will face penalties.
They lost their jobs, let their careers sink, had no more money. They suffered immeasurable discrimination, denunciation, betrayal, and humiliation, but they kept on going. Never before in humanity has there been such a casting. Now, we all know who are the best on the planet Earth. Men, women, young, old, rich, poor, of all races or religions, the unvaccinated, the chosen of the invisible arc, the only ones who managed to resist when everything collapsed. That's you. You passed an unimaginable test that many of the toughest Marines, commandos, Green Berets, astronauts, and even geniuses could not withstand. You are made of the stuff of the greatest who ever lived. Those heroes born among ordinary men who glow in the dark. Remember, you're the voice, and it's time to make it count.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
You got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones at AlexJonesLive.com. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the links and spread the word. We've only just begun to fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy
1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
Welcome to the August 7th edition of War Room Live. It's Friday. I'm your host, Rex Jones, filling in for the great Harrison Smith. And today I kind of got a roundup of the week for you. Got domestic policy, foreign policy, war, politics, finance, and a mixture of the macabre and the wild, shall we say. So I wanted to say at the start of this broadcast, whatever you're doing, whether you're, you know, at home with your friends, tell them about the show. That's the big message I can give you for today. We often get people saying we want to support the operation, want to do X, Y, Z. The biggest thing that you can do is share the posts, share the edits. We got a lot of great editors here, a phenomenal crew, just working on putting out clips for from every show for you every single day. So I want to shout out to the crew right there. Let's go ahead and get into the clips here. I've got an interesting story because we've had James Fishback on the show quite a few times, or I've had James Fishback on the show quite a few times. Byron Donalds is now under investigation. Let's go to clip number one.
July 21st, 2026, NBC News reported that Republican Florida Congressman Corey Mills was under criminal investigation by the Department of Justice. Like virtually every federal investigation, this one began with a single suspect and quickly spread to include others. This government whistleblower who approached my campaign has confirmed that this investigation has now expanded to include U.S. Congressman Byron Donalds, who, along with Corey Mills, is under investigation for federal sex trafficking. Federal prosecutors are investigating two dates in question, May 17th, 2024, and November 19th, 2024. Dates when Congressman Mills and Donalds are said to have traveled to the MGM National Harbor, a luxury hotel resort in Oxon Hill, Maryland, where prosecutors believe that both Mills and Donalds solicited, procured, and paid women for sexual acts. Federal prosecutors are in the final stages of this investigation and will soon charge both men under Title 18 of the U.S. Code, Section 1952, a felony that carries a conviction of 5 years in prison.
Right. So I think they denied being there, but now there's photographic evidence of them at the casino, reportedly, allegedly. Nothing is confirmed as of yet. But if you look at the overall situation, you look at him with his criminal convictions for drug trafficking and other things as well. Look at some of the behavior he's engaged in grocery stores. Byron Donalds is quite the swamp creature. And there's a reason why he's received $41 million in funding, right? And this is why, you know, I've paid a lot of attention to local races. You know, we got Aaron Baker in Florida. We got James Fishback, got Monty Fritz, like so many people. I think that the American people are waking up and realizing they don't want people that are involved in institutional corruption, even if they are outsiders, even if they're not, you know, a part of a party structure. I think everyone's calling BS on that. And where has the party structure gotten us anyway? You know, both on the left and the right, we're told, you know, you gotta back your team, you gotta reform your team, gotta make it work. They ultimately all do the same stuff. It doesn't really matter if they have a D or an R next to their name. They're kind of just the same creature. They're all empty suits. And they all support endless war, endless spending, endless genocide, endless compromise, ultimately, on all the issues that Americans hold dear. And I want to get to clip number two just to showcase where your tax dollars go. We've given this military, Ukraine's military, given them hundreds of billions of dollars. We have funded them and armed them to the teeth, and they do forced conscription. So let's go ahead and show clip number two of the forced conscription in Ukraine.
We do go to them.
All right, that's all we need, see? That's liberal and loving now, isn't it? Are you happy that you're paying for that? Because spoiler alert, you are. Just like the settlers in the West Bank, just like the IDF in Lebanon and Gaza, you fund this directly. You, the viewer, listener at home, if you're an American taxpayer, you're funding this system. And here's the thing. If you're not telling your friends and family every single day about the World War III of choice that we have put ourselves in and that we are supporting, that we are propping up, the actions here you're seeing are war crimes, by the way, that this is, you know, the second most moral army in the world. You know, the first one, of course, is Israel, right? Because, you know, the more grave the crimes are against humanity in general, the higher you rank on our morality list. Now, let's see what all these wars are really about with clip number three, Trump talking about Venezuela.
We're taking a lot of oil from Venezuela, and we're getting along great with them. Billions and billions of barrels of oil is coming out of Venezuela. It's one of the most fertile places for oil in the world. And as you know, it was a 48-minute war, lasted 48 minutes. And we paid for the war with what we've taken out many, many, many times. Where have you heard that before? You haven't heard that before. It's the old-fashioned way, right? It's the old-fashioned way. To the victor belong the spoils, right? And we're doing the same thing, by the way, in the lovely Islamic Republic of Iran. We're knocking the hell out of it.
Well, to the victor belong the spoils. I mean, that's the Strait of Hormuz, right? So why don't you have that? I guess that means we didn't win the war. Actually, you know what? I got something for this. I do have something for this. See if we can find it. The rundown is kind of a big collection here. See if we can find Hegseth saying that we've won the war. This is the newest proclamation. It's not the newest proclamation because they say it over and over and over again. Why are oil prices, diesel prices still going up even though we've taken Venezuela and taken their oil? It wouldn't be that we send a lot of that oil to Israel, would it? Wouldn't also be that oil isn't enough to prop up the economy after we shut down one of the world's most vital waterways that transported up to 20% of the world's oil, right? All these things are done in order to, like, minimize or compromise on a future conflict, which they're going to do. It's never even done for, like, the enrichment of the empire itself. It's just done for the war. Look at this. Hegseth declares victory while preparing for more war with Iran. The administration is still sending more forces to the region. Why would you do that if you won the war? And asking for help from allies, even as the White House says the conflict is over. All right, let's go ahead and go into clip number four here, contrasting this, Massey talking about what Americans actually care about, which is the debt.
Gentleman from Kentucky is recognized for 90 seconds.
Well, I'd love to stand here and tell the American people, we can cut your taxes and we can increase spending and everything's going to be just fine. But I can't do that because I'm here to deliver a dose of reality. This bill dramatically increases deficits in the near term, but promises our government will be fiscally responsible 5 years from now. Where have we heard that before? How do you bind a future Congress to these promises? This bill is a debt bomb ticking. Congress can do funny math, fantasy math, if it wants, but bond investors don't. And this week, they sent us a message. Moody's downgraded our credit rating, and the bond investors who buy our debt and finance our debt demanded higher interest rates on the 10-year note, the 20-year note, and the 30-year note. What does this mean? Very soon, the government will be paying $16,000 of interest alone per U.S. family. And what are we telling them? Instead of taking care of that problem, we're going to give you a $1,600 tax break. Under the taxing and spending levels in this bill, we're going to rack up, the authors say, $20 trillion of new debt over the next 10 years. I'm telling you, it's closer to $30 trillion of new debt in the next 10 years. Mr. Speaker, we're not rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic tonight. We're putting coal in the boiler and setting a course for the iceberg. If something is beautiful, you don't do it after midnight. I oppose this bill.
Gentleman's time has expired. Gentlemen.
Think about what he just said there. extrapolated over between $20 and $30 trillion over the next decade. Now, you'd say, oh, we're at like 40, pull up the debt clock. We're at 40 trillion right now. It doesn't seem so bad. Look at how much worse or how much worse our credit has gotten. You know, it's just when your credit goes down, you'll still get loan offers, but they'll be worse and worse and worse and worse. And that's what we're doing to ourselves. We're our own loan officer. We're our own drug dealer. That's how you really have to look at it with the capital and the money. And no one has ever told these junkies to stop. 39 trillion, 831 billion, 800 million, 100,000. And it just goes up 100,000. Just goes up another 100,000. Do. And that's like an American every second or less than every second. Pretty, pretty horrific when you look at that right there. And the whole prospect of us being in debt like this and saying, you know, the constant cop out is we're the best house in a bad neighborhood. I was like, well, okay, well, like what happens when you're the best house in a bad neighborhood, but all your neighbors are renovating? All your neighbors are trying to, you know, establish a HOA with themselves and trying to kick you out of it. That's basically what BRICS has done, right? And we've enabled them to do so. Biden did it by weaponizing the SWIFT system. They invented SIPs. We weaponized GPS system, cut that off from the Chinese. They invented Baidu, which is even more efficient in the global south than GPSs. They have even more satellites now. IMEC corridor, more nations have been willing to expand and join and work with China because of our military operations and aggression. You ultimately see the deal that you get funding and predatory loans from the Chinese, or you get American military bases in your country. And one of those is more of a financial risk. One of those is more of a literal risk now because those bases will get blown up. It will be seen as an act of war upon you, and then you will be called to fight with the United States. That's really what it is. You get called to fight for the United States in that situation. And that's like the handshake, wink, wink, nudge, nudge deal they make with all these countries. And the assumption on the part of all those countries has always been they've assumed, well, this is America. This is the big chungus, big cheese. It can take care of the problem for us. Not anymore. Not for a long time, actually. But, you know, it takes a while for people to get used to it. It's like touching a stove that's hot. They thought the stove was hot. The stove's not hot anymore, right? We can't project power in the way that we've been known to project power. So it leaves these countries that have made deals with us in a very precarious situation. What are they going to do when they know that we know that we're lying about being able to defend them? They'll probably make new security arrangements, new security agreements over the next decade. It'll be a slow pull away process, but it's about ripping the Band-Aid off first. And who does it, right? It'll either be us, we'll leave the region, or it will be them. And just like the war has been a giant humiliation, a giant exposure of the weakness of like a American hegemony on the world stage, and really the fact that that doesn't really exist anymore. And it's a multipolar world of regional powers, especially if you look at the case of Iran. It leaves us in a position where America doesn't really have a choice but to leave, because if these other countries make us leave first, we're truly done. We're truly done. And as Joe Kent often says, the economic incentive is on the Iranians to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. If we leave, if we're out of that region and they control that region, they keep it shut, they're going to have the international backlash. They're going to have the pressure. And then we could use economic war for economic sanctions in terms of not levying more against the country, but releasing the hundreds of billions or parts of the hundreds of billions, or releasing, you know, the ability for them to sell their stuff. They have been sanctioned for 47 years. Right. This is a big reason why they won the war. We did gain of function research on their country, just like we did to Russia, just like we've done to plenty of other places. When they can't adopt or interact with the Western financial system, when they can't, you know, adopt our credit system, when they can't use our money, they have to make do with what they have. And they found a way to do that in which they're able to outcompete the U.S. I think we spend $3,000 a person. Reportedly, I'm sure it's way more than that on the military, according to some statistic. I think the Iranians spend 80, and you can't win if you got a $1 billion base or a $300 million radar, or, you know, like a $20 million like Reaper drone, right? And it can just get blown up by a lawnmower that costs them $20,000 to make. It's just not economical. Let's go ahead and go to video five, or we just went to that. Video number five. Go ahead and roll that.
The whole myth that Iran is full of like crazy suicide bombers and like crazed jihadis. Number one, like that's not the Shias. like the Shias don't use suicide bombers. The Shias have never come over to America to kill Americans. Now, the Shias have been pretty proficient at killing Americans when we come to their shores, like in Iraq and in Lebanon. But the Salafi jihadis, the ISIS, the Al-Qaeda, those are the suicide bombers. Mm. Those are the guys who are like, you know, at all costs, we're going to hit America, who are crazy. And the only solution to them is to hunt them down and to kill them.
I was under the impression you supported those people. If you listen to the internet, holy shit.
Can we get that on camera? One of our, and you can have Joby Warwick check my math on this one. Our big ground forces that we use in the fight against ISIS, it was the Kurds, but also it was the Shia militias. Mm. I mean, when I was in Iraq in 2016, we were partnering with the Kurds, but like over just to our south was the popular mobilization forces,
right.
That had Quds Force advisors. I was there as an American Special Forces advisor. There was Quds Force advisors over there. We were bombing ISIS positions and they were advancing on it. They were the ground forces. They were the infantry against ISIS in many cases.
Wow. So many.
All of the, my bad on that little microphone adjustment. All of the threats that America faces are threats that we created and funded and set up, like Al-Qaeda, like ISIS, right? The idea that the Iranians say death to America and hate Americans, they fought a war against Saddam Hussein where they lost hundreds of thousands of their people and they had chemical weapons used on them that we gave Saddam, right? So to be like, oh, they say that, they want to launch an ICBM and nuke New York. That's what Benjamin Netanyahu would like for you to believe. What happens if they do that? What happens if they attack the mainland United States? They get nuked. They actually lose their civilization. They're not going to do that. They're smarter people than that. And Trump knows that. Europe-wide terror concern, throw that up. Europe-wide terror concern amid rise of ISIS-inspired attacks and radicalization. Experts say terrifying terror group ISIS, self-dubbed Al-Qaeda on steroids, is on the rise again across Europe, sparking fears that has found innovative ways of radicalizing young extremists. And the leftist NGOs and George Soros and all the fun friends and our government and CIA and Mossad and the Israelis and everybody, they put these people in Western countries to generate the reaction of, oh, this is the Islamic terror. This is the threat. This is why you support Israel, is because Israel's fighting these same people, except they're not. They funded those people. They brought them into your country. And the people that they're fighting are actually opposed to those militants and fight those militants in the Middle East. And that's the reality. You have a regional power fighting another regional power, and we're not in that region, so why are we involved? Why are we importing people from that region all over the world to Western countries to destabilize them? It doesn't benefit the West to do that. The West spends hundreds of billion dollars to defend Western civilization by defending Israel, but it'll spend $100 billion and then it'll import 100,000 refugees from one of these places that's rampant with the terrorism that we set up. And then it's kind of just like a shake and bake operation at that point. Let's go ahead and show from the Iranian side the, we'll show part of it. I don't want to play the whole thing. Number 6, new Lego video from Iran.
Stinky Donnie. Uh-oh. Back in your diaper. Shit yourself again. Whole room gagging. Little man stinking. Bad boy. You need that spanking. Who's the boss? It ain't the vote. Who's the boss? Follow the note. APAC, 50 states to Tel Aviv, no cash, no quote. BB never paid a dime, he just squeezed the throat. United Slaves of the Holy Land, merge the forces like Bibi planned. Now your general salute a foreign command, and the Senate says relax, it's fine, it's planned. Fine. No war ever fought for your own gate, mm-hmm. Always somebody else's hate. Free America, the people chanted loud. The strings burn the foreign shroud.
That's all we need. All right, so that is going to be a lot more effective than posting the equivalent of dark Brandon memes about Trump. Have you seen this? The White House, they post memes of Trump where he's like Slender Man or like the Rick and Morty thing. You can't really compete with something like this. And ultimately, it's not just the court of public opinion in America you have to worry about. It's the court of public opinion in the world. And just the general tolerance for this war, not just in America, but in other countries as well. We've seen what happened in Spain. We've seen kind of the reaction punishment. Good grief. All right. We've had enough of the video. I mean, we lost the war, guys. If we won the war, they wouldn't be making videos like this now, would they?
Bibi Netanyahu, please. We're in a lot of trouble here. We're losing the war. The public hates us. They hate what I've destroyed my economy. I've done everything domestically and foreign policy you've asked for. I've merged your military with Israel. We're doing it all, everything you want. Why? Can we just stop? Can we stop fighting? You have to bomb them more, Mr. Trump. You have to have, we have to have nuclear war, nuclear fire. We have to have the entire civilization burn. I'll tell them that. I guess we'll go drop the bomb. And here's the thing. That reality is a lot closer than the reality that Trump will sell you, that he's the king of the earth and that all the nations bow to him and that, oh, it's so incredible. They must never have a nuclear weapon. And it really is ultimately, because like the greatest propaganda is the truth. Who has the more truth? Do the Iranians have more truth, or does the U.S.-Israeli empire have more of the truth? I would have to say the Iranians have more of the truth, as in they've won the war and they acknowledge that. We don't acknowledge that. We even say it's not a war, but it's a war that we've won. I'm going to say it again. It's not a war, but it's a war that we won. It's also been going on for 47 years, but it's a military operation that might need to go on for another 20 years. But we also... we're going to defeat them in 24 to 48 hours. The Strait of Hormuz won't be closed. We're going to be able to do regime change. We're going to have color revolution. We're going to give the Iranians the Second Amendment, and they're going to overthrow their country. How many more can I think of? The Kurds and the other people around the Middle East will get involved. They'll help us. We can take Karg Island. It's easy. If we did Iwo Jima, we could do this. We're just going to get rid of their bridges, power plants. We're just going to bomb them, commit war crime. Like, it's, you go further and further down the list. It reads like a bad comedy. It's not a bad comedy. It's a tragedy, and it's real life, and it's what's happening now. Go ahead and play clip number 8. Iran releases footage of a U.S. Israeli fighter jet and drone down by the IRGC.
ایرانی‌ها در جنگ با دشمن آمریکایی. انتشار تصاویر اختصاصی خبرگزاری صدا و سیما از پرنده‌های شکار شده
Yeah, so that's like, I don't know, 100 Americans' tax dollars. You know, and that's just gone now, completely obliterated. And it's their trophy, too. They display it. What happened to the... Oh, the Iranians have no military. They have no air defense. They have no air defense munitions. They can't shoot down our stuff. Well, why do they have one of our Reaper drones then? How exactly does that work? I know that we re-engineered the Shahid and we made the Lucas drone, which I think cost like $1 million or something insane. Okay, go to Hegseth.
Iran has no air defenses. Iran has no air force. Iran has no navy. Their missiles, their missile launchers and drones being destroyed or shot out of the sky. Their missile volume is down 90%. Their one-way attack drones yesterday, down 95%. And as the world is seeing, they are exercising sheer desperation in the Straits of Hormuz. Something we're dealing with
projection.
We're dealing with it, and don't need to worry about it. We're on plan to defeat, destroy, disable all of their meaningful military capabilities at a pace the world has never seen before.
And what's the timestamp on that? Not the literal in the video, but when did that drop? Because I think that was months and months ago. And you see how they lie. You see how that's not true. We give you the truth on this network. That's why I need to tell people to support. Follow AJN Live. Follow Real Alex Jones on X. Follow me, Rex Jones News with a Z on X, if you want to do that. And go to thealexjonesstore.com if you want to support independent media, independent broadcasting. That's the place to go, thealexjonesstore.com. We got phenomenal methylene blue. We got phenomenal methylene red, ultimate life force, power plant, methyl drive, MK Ultra, ultimate burn. So much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And just the most incredible lineup of Patriot apparel that you're going to see really anywhere on the market. Everything's made in America, made in USA. Shout out to Big Lee doing a great job. And this is the last week to win both the Ram 2500 Super Diesel and I believe the Ford as well. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Support this broadcast. We'll be right back after this break.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
We're continuing the News Blitz roundup for the entire week. Of course, it's August 7th, 2026. I'm your host, Rex Jones. Thank you for joining us. Please share the live link, live feed. If you're on X, retweet it. You got to retweet it. You got to do it. But I want to get back into the neocon monsters. Let's go to clip number 7 with old Ted Cruz.
I believe the objective here should be regime collapse, removing this regime from power. Now, how do we bring about regime collapse?
He looks like he's been raped.
What I think we should do is a series of things.
Did Benjamin Netanyahu rape Ted Cruz before this broadcast?
Keep it in place and continue ratcheting up the economic pressure. That combined with continue taking out their military ability as they continue firing missiles at their neighbors, take out and degrade their military ability consistently. And then number 3, arm the protesters.
This episode of School of War.
All right, that's all we need. Arm the protesters. This is the Second Amendment Lindsey Graham option we've heard about. How are you going to deal with the 30 million people who were on the street for the Ayatollah's funeral? They never really talk about that, right? And he says his goal is not regime change, it's regime collapse. So he just endorses openly war crime, because that's what they have to do. They have to end the country. That's the only way America can feasibly win this war, is if they take out all the bridges, they take out all the power plants, they make the people starve, they make the people hurt. It's almost, here, let me engage in a hypothetical here. I don't support this, but I'm thinking from the beginning of the war, I'm putting myself in Trump's shoes, in his position, making myself the potato in chief, the POTUS Trump. Why are you killing the Ayatollah? Killing the Ayatollah is actually really, really dumb. I know you've heard me say, of course, you banned the nuclear weapon. I've said that like a trillion times, X, Y, Z. That's not my point. From a psychological perspective on the population, you have a population that's about half Muslim and then half whatever, right? Like half like ethnically Persian or whatnot. And there's some overlap there. We can debate, argue that. And the Ayatollah, IRGC, the Islamic Republic, it's a mixed bag, a mixed perception. A lot of people like the regime. A lot of people don't like the regime. A lot of these people wanted normalization with the West before the war. A lot of people in government wanted normalization with the West before the war. A lot of them still do, by the way. But you have this mixed bag. You do have this element within the country that does want to change and might be susceptible to working with the West. So in January, you use your intelligence assets, CIA, Mossad, the United States, Israel did this, to do a color revolution, a failed one, where you import rocket launchers, you import weapons, you import Internet Starlink, you coordinate them. And then all these people, this careful intelligence plan that's been put together for a decade plus, just like the Hezbollah operation with the pagers, it falls apart. They kill the people involved. That's where when Trump says 50,000 protesters, now they're saying it might even be 80,000. That's the number they throw out. The Iranians released the name and ID of every single person that they killed during that color revolution period. It's like, I think it's 3,300 people. So that's another example of Western lies. My point being with all of this, you do the failed color revolution in January. That doesn't work. You play that card, you throw it away. Then February 28th, March 1st, you kill the Ayatollah when he's in his house in like the first like seconds, basically hours of the attacks. You ice the Ayatollah. Why wouldn't you attack everybody else and leave him alive and leave him hiding in a bunker and then leave your assets, your sleeper cells, your agents on the ground? Why wouldn't you say, hey, we're going to make this happen. We're going to crush Iran. We're going to make the Ayatollah look like a cowardly little rat hiding in his bunker. And then you guys are going to retake the country in the name of the Shah. Why wasn't that done? Cause that seems like it would work out a lot better than what we did. What we did kind of seems effed up and retarded in comparison now, does it? You just like you throw away your two strongest cards from day one. And that's really what you do, because killing the Ayatollah ensures the regime doesn't change. You make him a martyr. You make him a hero. Their entire Shia culture is based off of sacrifice. That's basically all they care about. So you make this guy a demigod to half the country, to like 45 million people. And then you get on TV and you repeat the lines of now dead RIP hashtag PacWatch. Lindsey Graham is talking about giving the Second Amendment to the Iranian people. I got a bridge to sell Ted Cruz. We can make a lot of money off that. All right, let's go ahead and show clip number 9 from Trump. Another unk comment here. I think the war with Iran will end pretty soon. Go ahead and play clip number 9.
Pretty soon, again, based on everything I see, as soon as the war ends. And I think it's going to end pretty soon. I don't think they can go much longer. Yeah, please.
Has a deal been reached to reopen the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, I don't want to say it has been. It's sort of open right now. You know, we have a thing called the blockade headed up by the U.S. Navy, and we control it. And now we control it, but they can always shoot something. They always have something, or drop a mine. And if you have one mine sitting out there, you sort of mess things up, because people don't want to take their billion-dollar boats and accidentally get hit by a mine. But I think we're doing very well. I just, you know, I'm involved in the negotiation. I think we're doing fine. It could be, should be, won't be,
because he's a liar. So we've been hearing this for quite some time, and it hasn't really panned out. He thinks the war with Iran will end pretty soon. I think he said it's over, like I think at least 100 times at this point by now, which is it's kind of cute that he'll lie to us like that. It's kind of really weird that people will still believe him. Like, what are you supposed to do when he's the president, right? There's not really a lot that you can do. You just got to sit there and go, ah, well, I guess we blew up another elementary school. It is what it is. All right, go ahead and go into clip number 10, another neocon roundup monster, Mike Pompeo, rejected claims that the Iran conflict was a war of choice. Play clip number 10.
There are those within my party, the Republican Party, who think President Trump made a mistake, that would agree with Bernie Sanders and AOC that this was, and Hakeem Jeffries, right? They're out there. I don't understand that. These Republicans would describe this as a war of choice.
I wonder if that's a Ozempic or Retta.
That's a straw man argument, right? This was no war of choice. We've been at war with the Iranians for decades. It was time to make sure that they didn't have the capacity to become like North Korea. Impenetrable, unattackable, a bastion that had nuclear weapons that truly threatened at least their own neighborhood.
At least their own neighborhood. And Israel is an extension of the United States. It's our 51st state. It really should be the big star on our flag, and there should be all the little ones around it. So we had to attack. It was only going to be 24, 48 hours. That's what the administration said at first. It's a lie then. It's a lie now. We haven't been at war with them for 47 years. They gave us money after 9/11. They were, I think, the first country to do that. Were we at war with them then when we accepted that money? I'm sure Pompeo would have you believe it. Let's go ahead and show clip number 12, Trump not endorsing J.D. Vance.
Mr. President, there is a report that you told donors that they need to get J.D. Vance elected in 2028. Is that your official endorsement?
No, I heard about it a little while ago. I think he's great, but we're way too early to even be thinking about that. Okay?
Well, I mean, the dynasty, the Trump dynasty, the Trump 2028, Trump 2032, Trump 2036, and, you know, J.D. Vance moving forward and doing all these things. I think Trump realizes all that was always dependent on his success, and I think he adopted that plan at the beginning. But now he's kind of looking around him and saying, hey, I've really tainted J.D. I've really heavily tarnished J.D. by making him my good cop in this war that we claim is over but we can't end. And then he looks at Marco Rubio, and Marco Rubio is sitting over there with his giant sonic dish ears. He has been able to kind of slink around on the sidelines, been able to run Latin America, has been able to do a lot of these sneaky neocon foreign policy things that Trump actually really likes. I really see Marco Rubio getting the nod from the Don. That's my personal opinion. I'd be curious to see what you guys think. Let's check out, they got Fauci's phone. Clip number 15, Josh Hawley just confirmed it.
The Senate has his phone. This is the phone that he used for years, we believe, as the director of the NIAID, which is the position he held during COVID. I understand we're in the process of downloading its contents right now. I can't wait to see what's on it, Jesse. I mean, we learned so much from that last trove of documents. We learned that he got all of those cash prizes, $1 million for himself during COVID. That was illegal, by the way. I can't wait to see what we're going to find out from this phone.
And the Florida AG is looking into some of these wars. He was grabbing cash awards while he was telling Florida to shut down and do this and that. And he knew these rules were BS.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. The law prohibits a federal employee from soliciting cash prizes. It says you can't go use your employees to solicit cash prizes. You can't use your office or email. Fauci was doing all of it. Was he even focused on COVID during COVID? No way. He was focused on himself. He was focused on getting rich. And Jesse, he got over $1 million in cash prizes in the span of like 2 years. He's the highest paid federal employee ever. His pension is worth $500,000 a year. Net worth right now, north of $12 million. It's a total scam.
What? North of 12?
Yeah, it's all a bit insane, ridiculous. He bragged about in his diary about, you know, how he, all the famous hot women liked him now because he was cool and he was the person that saved them. And, you know, he's a person that inserts flesh-eating maggots into beagles' faces to experiment on them. He's a person that funded Eco Health Alliance on record, sue me if it's not true, and created COVID-19. In my opinion, Dr. Anthony Fauci should be executed for crimes against humanity. And let's just talk about the death penalty a little bit. We'll have a little bit of a conversation about the death penalty, 15 or 13 minutes on the clock. Why do we not implement this in the way that it used to be implemented? Why don't we do it? Why do we have people running around that have created COVID-19 and killed millions of people and destroyed hundreds of millions, perhaps even billions of people's lives, like Dr. Anthony Fauci? Why do we have people that stab people on trains and, oh, I'm insane, so it's okay, it's all good. And then, you know, like you look at the rap sheet, it's just a mile long. I've got this video. And I want to say viewer discretion is advised. All right. This is not a positive topic, but it's a topic that has to be talked about. We've got this guy. I think his name is like Dijon Mustard or something. And he's this like notorious black criminal. He's been in jail like 14 times, like always released. And I guess he's just a paranoid schizophrenic or whatever. He goes out on the street and just punches women in the head and attempts to murder them. You know, he just does it and posts it on Instagram. And it's been restricted now, so people aren't seeing the video as much. I'm about to show it to you. I have three sisters. If I saw a random dude punch a lady in the street and basically, like, murder her, like, KO her in the street, and then he's, like, standing over her, I'm literally, bam, 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 bam. Because here's the thing. Oftentimes, people say, oh, well, you don't know what was going to happen. He could have stopped and tried to help or whatever. I just watched him try to attempt murder on this woman. I'm going to stop the threat. We're going to eliminate the threat because you don't have the right to do violence on other people. They are so quick to say, oh, you don't get a gun. Oh, you don't get agency. Oh, you don't get rights because rights are dangerous for you. You'll hurt people with them. But the criminals that actually do the violent crimes, the violent offenses that break the law, they get rewarded. They get no cash bail. They get let out over and over and over again. And it creates an attitude within the predatory class of people in America that they can just do whatever they want. What'd y'all say? Yeah, you know, I see it on the rundown. Let's go ahead and play this clip. Clip number 21.
That's the real issue, nigga. That's the real issue, nigga. You sitting here playing with me, nigga. That's the real issue, nigga. July 21st is the real issue, nigga. July 21st, that's the real issue. Nah, don't wave to me. You still talking? You still talking? July 21st.
Yeah, what happened to Stop Asian Hate? How'd that work out? Elijah! Look who's doing it. Doesn't look white to me. Yeah, I think he should be drawn and quartered publicly. I think we should stone him. I think we should fry him in the electric chair, bring him back to life, and fry him again. Seriously. Dijon Mustard, Daquan Shafir Hunt, you must die. You must face execution. Like, this is just the reality. We either live in a society where we protect the weakest among us, or we protect the worst people among us. And we live in a society where we truly protect the worst people. This is why I'm pro-death penalty. This is why this guy, after a fair trial, of course, it's literally all on video. The attempted murder is on video. He just needs to be executed. It has to be taken care of now so more people don't get hurt. And that is what it is about. I had somebody say, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? Live by the sword, die by the sword. You know, he thought it was cool to go punch a 5'2" woman in the face. You know, let's tie him up in a chair and let a 6'8" dude punch him in the face. See how he feels about it. I'm sure it wouldn't be a lot of N-words coming out of his mouth. It'd be, bro, bro, stop, bro. Just boom, boom, boom. Take him out like the garbage. Put him in the trash can on Tuesday. Get rid of him. Get rid of him now. We got pedophiles. They get like 3 years in prison and they get let out. This is on that level. He's a mass shooter. This is like a school shooter level criminal. This guy is like literally like a DC Comics level villain, a Marvel level villain. This guy's a monster. Needs to be taken off our planet immediately. Free trial, fair trial, expedient trial. Get rid of him now, please. And people say, oh, again, it's not Christian to have the death penalty. What do you mean? He's got time in a jail cell to talk to a priest and get right with God before he dies. What if that was your mother? What if that was your sister? What if that was your wife? You're still going to be, oh, you know, well, you know, we can't have the government, you know, take care of people. It's too much power to give the government. The government kills us. The government kills the citizens. The government oppresses us, taxes us, sends us off to war. And then this criminal, you're going to pay over $100,000 a year to put him in some cushy prison where he'll be raped by Bubba and he'll like it. Seriously, just solve the problem now. Solve the problem permanently. Get him off the planet. He doesn't deserve to live. He absolutely does not deserve to live. And like I just said, if that was a woman in your life that you were related to or friends with or you knew, I think you'd feel the same exact way. And I think that you do feel the exact same way. Look at his criminal record. 5'9", 220 pounds. I didn't know they stacked SHIT that high. Wow. Well, he's got all different haircuts as well. The spider cut, always a indicator. Dejon Mustard, attempted murderer who should fry in the electric chair. I would call your congressman or call your senator and ask him why we don't have punishments for serious violent criminals like this. I know there's been a lot of criminal justice reform and they want to send the social worker out, you know, and take care of the problem. Somebody like this, they can't ever see light of day again. And ultimately, a court of law is not serious enough to address his crimes against humanity and innocent people. That woman literally woke up that day, thought, oh, I got an appointment here. I got to go to work here. I'm happy, going to see my family later. And he saw her on the street. She waved at him. She smiled at him. And he said, I'm going to end your life. I'm going to conquer you. I have the right to do it because I'm stronger than you. Well, here's the thing, Dejon Mustard. A lot of people have guns. A lot of people are armed. And a lot of people don't like it when you violate their rights and try to kill them. So if we live in a society that is supposed to protect freedom and protect the citizens, why do we have these predators walking among us doing these things, getting let out of jail over and over and over again, over a dozen times? But then if you have an ounce of cocaine, if you embezzle a little money, whatever, you go to jail forever. There's no equality. There's no justice in our justice system. That makes me so mad. Really, really makes me mad. Get him back up there on the screen. Get him back up there on the screen. This is a guy that decided he had the right to punch random women that are just walking down the street. They're minding their own business. That they're just enjoying their day, enjoying their life, because the only thing that makes him happy is getting to do this to people and the knowledge that he'll get away with it. He knows he's going to get away with it. He knows, oh, give me a year, maybe 2-3 years in jail, prison, and then I'm out. I get to do the same thing again. Maybe I'll even sell drugs. Because he doesn't have anything to lose. All right. He doesn't care. He's not aware of anything else other than his own desire, which is to do whatever he wants. And we can't really have a society that way now, can we? Can't really have a society where people rob you, or people murder you, people assault you, people rape you. Can't really be done. That's not the West. You're not welcome in the West. You gotta go. Gotta go to hyperspace. Gotta go meet the judge. All right. Get rid of him now. All right. I had to cover that because it's just so awful. And we'll talk about that with further guests. Let's go back to the Iran war. Let's go to clip 22. Scott Bessent, we have Iran by the throat.
We're never going to let them have a nuclear weapon.
Right.
We had Epic Fury, which was the kinetic portion. At Treasury, we did Economic Fury. What goes little publicized is, on the kinetic side, Air Force is wiped out, Navy is wiped out, a big portion of their missiles, more importantly, their missile production. On the economic side, we have them by the throat, and they've got 150, 180% food inflation, not able to pay the troops. So I think shortly, maybe even today, tomorrow, we are going to see an agreement, 30-60-day ceasefire, and Strait will be open. Energy prices should come down.
See, that's all everyone's talking about. That's all they'll talk about. Strait of Hormuz, Bab el-Mandeb, how it's all fine. It's all under control. The domestic reality, they don't care about you. They don't care even that you exist. And, you know, if you get punched by somebody in the street, you know, you're not a billionaire. You're not a donor. You're not an Israeli. So you're not a top priority. Bessent said, adding that more than 50 to 70%, not quoting him what I said before, quoting him now, more than 50 to 70%, or 70% of the energy currently moving through it would instead go to underground pipelines, talking about the thing they're going to build around the Strait of Hormuz. And I don't think that's 30-to-60-day ceasefire. We had that before. That was called the Memorandum of Understanding. Let's go ahead and go to clip number 20, U.S. rent prices versus income, the real war. That's loving and liberal. And this is why people in the younger generations are upset, is because this isn't a fair deal. It's not a fair deal when you had 1990. Look at that gap versus where we're at today. And see, it came back up, but the other one came back up as well. Keeps climbing. Income goes down again. you kind of get the picture, right, of what's happened to our country. How we already own nothing and are not happy. So when we own even less, how does the logic follow that we're going to be doing any better? I just personally don't see it. I have hope, you know. I really do. But every time I have hope, every time I think that, you know, we can turn around from one of these economic crises, they do another war, do another pandemic, do another pump and dump crash. And that's how we ended up where we are today. I want to go ahead and show clip number 16. World War II vet feels like a foreigner in his own country.
The real truth?
Yeah.
I feel like a foreigner in my own country lots of times. And I don't like it. It makes my heart real heavy. And I just hope we can pull out of this. There's too much Hollywood going on in Washington all the time. The important subjects they don't cover.
That's right. Well, when that guy was young, country was vast majority white, and the country was an industrial superpower, and the country was known for really space age technology, even back then creating the modern world, helping the Allied powers, really funding the Allied powers to win the war with the manufacturing capability. And now that entire ethnic base and just like identity of the country is basically gone. We have vestiges of it. We have symbolism of it, symbology of it. But in reality, we have done mass migration and mass importation, not just illegal, but legal, 1 million to 2 million people a year for just decades and decades and decades and decades. And you can't really do that. No one else does it. We take in more immigrants than basically anybody else. Look this up. It's all true. Legally, not illegally, legally. We take in more people basically than anybody else. We're very high up on that list. And the argument of, oh, it's built the country. It's done X, Y, Z. The historic ethnic groups of the country, right? Like the British, the German, everyone like that. That time period, that colonial time period, you have that. Then you have the time period of the Ellis Island, where you have the Italians, the Irish, other people come in. Of course, historic African-American population, Latino population as well in the U.S. The new people, well, they're Haitian. They are from Bangladesh. They are from India. They are from China. They are from Africa. They are from the Middle East. They are from places that have culture completely alien to ours. And they refuse to assimilate in the vast majority. People that we bring over here, we tell them to come here. All right. Whether that's refugee status, whether that is like accelerating a timeline of passing through immigration system. And we say, as long as you swear that you'll identify and abide by our values, we'll make you a citizen. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, do, and they do a good job of that, but a lot of them don't. A lot of them don't. And the expectation that everyone that you bring into your country is going to act exactly how you're used to your culture, I don't think that bears out. I think we're seeing the fruits of that labor. And look at that. Over 50 million foreign-born residents live in the U.S., making up roughly 15% of the total population. How's that for a black pill? I'll see you after this break.
Filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
The Alex Jones Store.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from the AlexJonesStore.com.
The Ultra Methylene Red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spread through every vein.
Agreed, partners. Let's head
right behind you.
The Alex Jones Show. Uncovering the truth from the American heartland.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
As of now, Putin is making the final decision, and they've telegraphed this publicly on state-run media, of attacking Poland first, attacking military bases and weapons factories that are supplying the glide bombs, the cruise missiles, and other systems. And of course, there's a lot of other NATO countries producing the weapons. Most of the weapons are now not produced in Ukraine, and NATO, through U.S. satellites and GPS, is directing the weapons, and Western military technicians are aiming and firing the weapons on the ground as well. And under the rules of war, I don't want this to happen, but under the rules of war, Russia has stated, and it's true, that they are within their rights to begin striking. Now, I don't normally buy NATO propaganda because most of the time they're lying. But if you remember back in October, 5 years ago, 3 months before the war started in February, I went on air and I said, I believe Russia will invade by late February. And I said that in October. October, November, December, January, about 4 or 5 months before it happened. And I nailed it. Russia invaded on the 22nd. And there were thousands of data points and tracking the Russians and actually looking at third-party assessments of them massing troops in Western Russia on the border of Eastern Ukraine and movements in Belarus as well to the north. And I said, I believe that if NATO doesn't make a deal, this is the final red line for the Russians. They are going to invade. And, of course, history shown I was right. Now, talking to Victor Boot on the air, who's a big Russian insider, and talking to people I know in the Pentagon that I trust, as of now, Putin is making the final decision, and they've telegraphed this publicly on state-run media, of attacking Poland first, attacking military bases and weapons factories that are supplying the glide bombs, the cruise missiles, and other systems. And of course, there's a lot of other NATO countries producing the weapons. Most of the weapons are now not produced in Ukraine. And NATO, through U.S. satellites and GPS, is directing the weapons. And Western military technicians are aiming and firing the weapons on the ground as well. And under the rules of war, I don't want this to happen, but under the rules of war, Russia has stated, and it's true, that they are within their rights to begin striking. They've been warning for several years they're going to do that. But now they've been massing nuclear weapons, tactical nuclear weapons, in Belarus in the north, in Western Russia, on the eastern side of Ukraine, and in many other areas, putting missile cruisers into the surrounding seas and upping their nuclear doctrine and threatening that if they do hit bomb and missile bases and artillery munitions bases in Poland, the main staging ground, not just for production but also for shipments out of other areas of Europe, the U.S., that then if there are any counterstrikes, Russia has set under rules of war, under the threat escalatory ladder, that they are then going to use tactical nuclear weapons. within hours in most war games, if not minutes, NATO and the U.S. will then hit Russian missile fields and missile bases in Russia. And within minutes to hours, we will be in a full nuclear war. Now, all the major think tanks, all the major war colleges, Rand Corporation, the Pentagon, the Russians, the Chinese, NATO. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Well, I'm being joined now by Shannon Joy for the second hour of the War Room Live Friday, August 7th, 2026. Shannon Joy is an independent broadcaster, podcaster, and videocaster. She launched her daily show 13 years ago and has grown from radio station in Rochester, New York to national self-syndication, featured today on Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, iHeartRadio, and every major podcast platform in America. Her daily commentary delivers millions of views each month and features some of the most prolific voices in America's independent liberty movement. You're an organizer, activator. You speak passionately about localized and individual resistance to tyranny from her platforms. Routinely talk to Naomi Wolf and others, Ron DeSantis, Congressman Thomas Massey, Peter Schiff, Daniel Horowitz, Ed Dowd, and Patrick Wood and more. Thank you so much for joining me. And I wanted to talk to you about domestic issues, domestic policy, because I'm really a foreign policy guy. I do like geopolitics and war most of the time, especially like stuff in Ukraine, stuff in Iran. But really, like, I was a very passionate supporter of the president, Shannon. Like, that was, that's kind of the big thing for me. That's kind of where I'm at, why I'm so angry slash confused. I think you talk about this a lot domestically. People are outraged and upset, not just about what's happening around the world, what's happening here at home. We have, you know, the signaling of RFK Jr. and the MAHA movement, and now we kind of get mRNA flu vaccine, and we get a new head of the CDC. We have Trump saying his poll numbers are invincible, it's amazing, and they're rock bottom. Shannon, what do you think about the state of where we're at right now?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show with you. I've been watching you. You're doing such a great job, and I understand the disappointment, the frustration, the craziness regarding, you know, where Donald Trump has taken this administration, particularly in, his second term. And I think it's why we're seeing plummeting approval numbers, not just among Democrats, but among independents. I think the latest four or five polls have shown a 34% to 35% approval rating among Americans, which is the lowest approval rating since President Nixon, right before he was impeached. It's why we're seeing an exodus of independent conservatives from the GOP and MAGA, led by people like Thomas Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene, your dad, yourself, Tucker Carlson. A lot of discussion about a new independent party because people are so frustrated by the betrayals of this administration. And it's not just foreign policy. I mean, you mentioned the war in Iran. That is, you know, after promising no new wars, ending the conflict in Ukraine. Now, not only is that promise broken, it's also having devastating impacts on every American's ability to put food on the table. The closing and the opening of the Strait of Hormuz, the ending and starting of the war pumping and dumping all the way down insider trading with every announcement that comes out from this administration. It's highly volatile, unpredictable. You can't operate in an economy like that or a country like that because you never know what's going to happen. And it's leading to massive, massive pain for American families. The skyrocketing energy prices, the skyrocketing food prices. We have inflation. We have inflation from the tariff actions that the president has taken. Now he's reimbursing because his tariffs were struck down in courts across the country. They're now reimbursing massive
corporations. Well, this is a key point.
Right.
This is a key point. I want to come in here because if the tariffs were written slightly differently, they would have been legal. They were struck down. Mm. Who wrote the tariffs? Lutnick wrote the tariffs, and on record, him or his family, they're involved making billions of dollars off them being struck down. So it's this thing as to where, like, I see where you're going with this, and I agree. You look at the whole aspect of, you pay me $100,000 a month, and you get prior notification of what I'm going to say. Is that not an admission, outright admission of market manipulation?
It is unprecedented in this country to have the president of the United States of America so blatantly engaging in insider trading and market manipulation. And there are probably 100 examples of this president, from, you know, the Melania coin to the Trump coin to some of the other crypto scams that they have run. The preferential treatment of his kids, Jared Kushner, getting sweetheart deals to rebuild in Gaza. I mean, the list is breathtaking. And while certainly other administrations, Democratic administrations, Biden, Pelosi, the Clintons engaged in a lot of this activity, they at least did it quietly under the radar so as to not be caught. So what's very different about this administration is that you are seeing a normalization of criminal activity coming from the White House. And you can be certain that the next Democrat administration that takes the White House will not only use this as precedent, but will also abuse it as well.
Yes.
And so go ahead.
No, that's the whole thing, right? Is I get told that I'm bad because I'm angry that the party that I voted for didn't hold up their end of the bargain. When by them not holding up their end of the bargain, they're guaranteeing power to the other side. That's literally what it is. And they're creating that power and the precedent for it. What do you think?
That is an absolutely appropriate point. And you're seeing this most recently. We talked about the poll numbers. The threat of Democrats winning the midterm elections, taking back the House and the Senate is very, very real. But, you know, we've witnessed over the past 12 months, Donald Trump taking out some of the brightest stars in the Republican Party, people like Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene, breaking almost every promise that he made to his constituency, which is leading to a mass exodus from the party. This is all going to impact those midterm elections. And Axios just came out with a report a couple days ago. They talked to insiders in the Trump administration close to President Trump. And those insiders told Axios reporters that Donald Trump doesn't care about losing the midterms, that he is going to focus the last 2 years of his administration on what they termed unprecedented executive actions and mass pardoning. So he's going to pardon his cronies like Lutnick, his children, corporations and corporate partners close to his administration. And these are going to be mass pardons, again, setting a horrifying precedent for the next Democrat administration that comes in and abuses that. But he doesn't care. So that leads you to ask the question, like, what does he know or what do they know that we don't know? Why doesn't it seem to matter? None of the answers are good. And, you know, this is now going to impact. I think that this could be the nail in the coffin for the GOP for decades to come. I don't know that they come back from this. This is why, by the way, that Tucker Carlson is very obviously putting together a new political coalition. And you saw that the picture that was released a couple days ago. There it is. Tom Massie, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Joe Kent, Tucker Carlson. and their spouses, that is very clearly an indication. And there is a lot of power in that room in terms of their reach, their ability to raise money, their, you know, finger on the pulse of regular Americans and what they're experiencing. And so the GOP should not feel as if they have nothing to lose here and they have the power of the presidency and that the Trump star is going to shine forever. They are losing the base. And quite frankly, Rex, I think that they deserve it. I think we need something new.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy for sure, because they said, like, you're going to get tired of winning, right? Well, like, if this is what winning means, and we are tired of it because we're not winning, we're losing. And you can't tell us that it's raining when you're doing something else to us very clearly. And like, nobody is doing better unless they own like a $1 million house. And then he thinks he can go out there and say, it's a good thing that that $1 million house became a $1.2 million house, because it means that my voter base, you know, the 80-year-old people will support me. And it's like, well, you have to do things for the people in the country that are trying to build still. There's not really a path up that ladder. It feels like a lot of people feel like the ladder was pulled up. And I think Trump in his first term really represented a guy that didn't start new wars, a guy that did lower taxes, a guy that made a lot of economic mobility possible for people. And that was my assumption coming back into the second Trump term, because I said, look, I'm a small business owner. I've been a small business owner at the time for 4 years, now for 6 years, right? I've been doing this forever. If I get Trump back in, it's going to mean things are better. Under Biden, things have been horrible. And, you know, we get that initial period of that economic recovery, and I'm like, great. And then we get wars of choice. We get spending of choice to say, hey, we have to do $1.5 trillion defense budget. Hey, we got to give $500 billion to OpenAI. Hey, we got to do X, Y, Z, but never anything for us. What do you think the American people wanted the most domestically at home that they're not getting?
I think that today it is economic relief. And it is an end to the corruption, an end to the market manipulation, an end to the building of monopolies and the creation of the monopolies. We saw very, very clearly in the summer of 2024 that Donald Trump, in order to push his campaign across the finish line, made two critical alliances. The first was with the big tech bros. So the techno-fascists, people like Peter Thiel, the founder of Palantir, and also, you know, many of the other Elon Musk and you know, that Silicon Valley lobbying organization came in and they dumped a ton of money into his campaign in the summer of 24. But it wasn't quite enough, Rex. They needed the quote unquote MAHA movement, which I believe was a psyop. I don't believe that the MAHA movement was organic. I believe that MAHA was created and designed to break apart the medical freedom movement, which was the other major, major impact.
Well, let's talk
during
about
the Biden
that.
Administration. Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
But just to
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Really
I was
going
to say to put a,
yeah.
Yeah. That, you know, that was very clearly the way that he got over the finish line. And it has impacted everything that he has done, especially regarding the expansion of techno-fascism, the data centers, the surveillance state, all of these really creepy, creepy, you know, techno-fascist initiatives. All of that has to do with them purchasing his presidency in the summer. So we could absolutely go on to talk about MAHA and medical freedom too, because COVID-19 should have been a clue to us.
Ask you a question. Yeah. So this is a key point. I haven't thought about it for a period of time, but you're absolutely right now that I think about it. You have Dr. Zelenko, you have this huge movement on the, like, just like you say, like medical freedom side of things, people saying, hey, we weren't given informed consent. What the hell is this thing? Like very, very passionately, not just about COVID, but about just all the mRNA technology, all about the vaccines. And then you kind of get this mainstream fusion attitude towards it. Now, RFK Jr. says glyphosate is amazing. It's a matter of national security. He won a $270 million lawsuit against Monsanto in which he proved it caused cancer. And now we have to have it.
Well, and this goes to the... You do feel as if you're being gaslit in some
yes.
ways, because you are, we're experiencing elected officials, political leaders who have built a lifetime of work on certain initiatives and issues and principles. And we're watching them do complete 180s, and it's getting worse and worse and worse as every week or month passes by. But, you know, the medical freedom movement, you know, what we've seen from this presidency, from the Trump presidency, is two massive rounds of redistribution of wealth out of the middle class and the productive class of the United States of America, small to medium-sized businesses, into the 1 or 2%, so an elite corporate class. Now, that was one of the most horrifying aspects of the lockdown of 2020, which, by the way, Donald Trump initiated. It was his declaration of emergency that set in motion everything that happened in 2020 and then during the Biden administration. So that emergency declaration and then the HHS medical emergency declaration and the passage of the PREP Act set in place a horrific, horrific series of military countermeasures, interventions. So the forced masking, the social distancing, the lockdown, the declaration of essential versus non-essential businesses, the mass censorship, the deplatforming, and then what ultimately became the rollout of an experimental mRNA technology along with nationwide mandates that were not stopped by either administration, that ended up poisoning, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans. I mean, we still have, this is insane, Rex. In VAERS, that's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. As of today, there have been 1.6 million COVID adverse events reported, 39,000 deaths, and 223,000 hospitalizations. Now, that's on top of VSafe data, which is the most pristine data you can find in the rollout of a vaccine, and Pfizer's early data, its own clinical study data, which was detailed in Naomi Wolf's great works when she rolled, went through those Pfizer data sets. But we have now what appears to be a mass poisoning, a mass death event here in this country. And the election of Donald Trump in 24, with his inauguration in 25, was supposed to deliver a referendum and a reckoning for that. That was the whole point of Bobby Kennedy Jr. joining his campaign. That was the whole point of MAHA. That was what Donald Trump needed to cross that finish line. And they have betrayed every single promise. This administration isn't even interested in acknowledging the 1.6 million people who have reported injury from these vaccines, which are still on the market, which this president still continues to say was one of his greatest accomplishments.
He's the father of the vaccine.
And to make it even worse, Rex, just a couple days ago, the Mfluvisa, the mRNA 1010, it is a new mRNA version of the flu shot. It was approved by the FDA and is now going to be rolled out and recommended for adults 50 plus. And this thing is a nightmare, Rex. I mean, we already have Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Mary Kelly Bowden, Mary Holland of Children's Health Defense, Retsef Levy, Robert Malone, all speaking out against this rollout. It's atrocious. Here are some of just the top concerns. And this came from Dr. Peter McCullough. It has an extremely high adverse reaction rate, even higher than the mRNA COVID vaccine. 75% rate of adverse reactions. He's saying most recipients are going to get sick after this shot. Severe systemic reactions were 4 times more common than with the traditional flu shot. McCullough describes this as consistent with the mRNA being a more dangerous vaccine platform. And I mean, there are a whole other host of issues with this, but not only are we not studying the mechanisms of harm, why mRNA platforms are harming Americans, we're expanding them under this administration. So it almost appears as if we are in a COVID 2.2 situation where this president is acting on behalf of handlers or some type of lobby organization or oligarchical organization in doing the bidding of entities that are openly hostile at this point to every single American, not just domestically with the rollout of these new shots and the recommendations, but also, you know, in terms of foreign policy and what they're doing with the war in Iran. By the way, Rex, you must have heard about the draft simulation that is now being prepared, a request for a proposal or a request, an RFX for tech companies to deliver to the administration a draft simulation that would essentially role play the rollout of a massive nationwide draft to assemble a fighting force for boots on the ground in Iran. Like, so then they're now coming after our boys, potentially our girls. Thank you, John McCain. Yep. Like, this is rapidly spinning out of control. And this is why so many Americans, I think, are becoming very alarmed. I'm sorry to bloviate there.
You're good. The boil down I give is not what we voted for. Like, this is the whole thing. We're not mad at Trump because we're mad at Trump. We're mad because he didn't do what he promised to do. Everyone that's still involved in the cult of personality, they don't get that because they worship him so much. They're incapable of looking at it objectively. Whereas if you look at it objectively, just look at your life. Unless you're heavily leveraged in the stock market and own a bunch of defense and like semiconductor stock, you're doing pretty bad right now. Seriously. Right. And for the subset of people that are doing well right now, it's a Ponzi scheme. It won't last. It can't continue. Talk about that aspect. Got like 2 minutes left. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Well, yeah, the debt is the other big, massive elephant in the room, the debt and deficit spending. We just had the United States of America try to bail out the yen. The yen typically, was the way that our treasury bonds were purchased and pick all. It's everything is pointing towards some type of economic or financial calamity. And this is because nothing has ever changed. I mean, we've been engaging in profligate spending, the expansion of governments, monopoly creation, crony capitalism, insider trading for the better part of 25 years. And they just keep piling the one debt upon another upon another. And so now as things are beginning to fall apart geopolitically and new alliances are being built, we're getting squeezed here in the U.S. The dollar is getting squeezed. It looks more and more like there's no way that we're going to be able to avoid some type of economic calamity. And that's very dangerous, too, because that creates instability. It creates a lot of pain. It could be another COVID type situation where the crisis is so bad. The crisis they created is so bad that the government has to take action. Maybe they declare an emergency. Maybe they then roll out the digital ID and the digital currency, which is way worse than any type of fiat currency we're using now, because it's programmable, it's trackable, it's traceable, surveillable, and also confiscatable. It's the worst of all worlds. And we know that the president with the tech bros is working on creating some type of private banking digital currency, some type of private mechanism to totally reshape our currency. Of course, we're going to get screwed, completely screwed if that happens. And so there's just a lot there. You know, they're hitting us from every angle. It's very hard for Americans right now to kind of figure all of this out. It's what we try to do on the show every day. I'm white knuckled on this roller coaster with all of you, because everything that we are getting from this administration, the left wing news media, Democrat politicians, and right wing politicians, it's all lies. They're all
totally
lies.
And it's all problem, reaction, solution. Phenomenal points. Yes. We'll be right back after this break. Shannon Joy. Yes. Everybody needs to share this right now. People need to know what you know. Let people know you're watching us on the War Room Live, Alex Jones Network, Rex Jones, Shannon Joy, right back after this break.
A microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often there are things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting that at the, you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical, we're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Yeah, we're here in the middle of the second hour of the War Room, August 7th. 2026, Rex Jones, Shannon Joy, just kind of wondering where it all went wrong. Because in 2024, there's this big resurgence. We were all happy about getting our country back. MAHA, anti-war, peace president, all this stuff. And the stunning reversal, where, Shannon, do you think it started? Where was Trump's deviation from what he originally planned on doing and was doing to where we're at now? Where do you think that started for you?
Well, one of the areas that I differed in opinion from most of the medical freedom community in MAHA in the 2024 election was supporting Trump again as the candidate. I began to think, we saw in the first administration of Donald Trump, some good things happening in those first few years. Some of them were marginal, not enough, from my perspective as a fiscal conservative and a constitutional conservative. But it was in the spring of 2020, the last year of the Donald Trump presidency, that I became convinced that he was no longer of agency, that there was something much larger than Donald Trump, pulling the strings behind his administration and influencing him and impacting his decision making. And right. So I think it was with those lockdowns set in motion one of the most devastating impact events in American history, more impactful even than an atom bomb hitting this country or, the Twin Towers on 9/11. Because, you know, the lockdowns were essentially, just issuing in a mass transfer of wealth from the middle class and the poor to this elite 1%. I want to say there were 300 new billionaires created in just the first year. And so, right. You know, when... And you know, the other impacts as well. I mean, if you want to go back and look at 2020, there were really, really bad things that Trump put in place. First, the National Declaration of Emergency, which set everything in motion, and deployed the NSA. So that was when everything became a military operation. So it wasn't Trump making decisions or Fauci making decisions or Deborah Birx making decisions. Health agencies were not making their own decisions. They were taking orders from a Pentagon-led military deployment. So this was an international military operation. And this is very well detailed in the COVID dossier by Debbie Lerman and Sasha Latipova, which people can find on their Substacks. They have all the receipts for this, but most Americans don't know that was a military deployment. So everything that we experienced from the military lockdowns, operation. The shutdown of hospitals was a military operation, and it is still in place today. That emergency health declaration has not been lifted by Bobby Kennedy Jr. as head of HHS. He knows he can lift it. He knows he can end the emergency. And Rex, the problem is when we are in a national health emergency, essentially the military countermeasures can impact and harm any American in any way. And the agencies deploying them will never face any type of liability because we're acting, we're in a war theater. In a war theater, if we're at war with a virus or at war with, some type of health threat, then they can quarantine you. They can force vaccinate you. They can lock you down. They can seize your assets. They can censor you. They can poison millions and nothing can be done. This is why we've had such a terrible time getting any type of relief or even compensation for the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Americans who were impacted in a terrible way. That it's not even just the shots, Rex. It's the hospital lockdowns and the COVID kill protocols. The remdesivir, the ventilators, the lack of nutrition. I mean, everything that happened to thousands of patients on COVID floors. I mean, it was an atrocity. Right. And that's all now built in to the legal infrastructure.
It's about
and the legislative. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's about the emergency powers, and it's about the fact that it's like you say, war on drugs, war on terror, war on COVID. All these. Once the government gets the power, they never give it back, ever. And I think Trump likes the idea of wielding authority, and they say, "Sir, we can increase your authority by doing this," and he takes the deal. I think that's why ultimately he's ended up being a capstone for the system, because prior, the person either had to be, just a creature of the system itself and just served it as part of their nature. Now they have that guy with that outsider credibility who comes in. And he's like, yeah, if you let me remake this system in my own image, you can absolutely run it. And really, if you look at it, Trump, his success comes from branding, advertising, and marketing, right? He puts his name on things. So I think for him, they say, sir, we have to do this. He says, Will people know it's me doing it? And they say, oh, we'll make sure of it. And then I think he shakes the hand, takes the deal.
Absolutely. No, I think we're dealing with a puppet presidency. I'm equally critical of the Biden administration. That sure. was a puppet presidency as well. I think that more and more Americans are beginning to realize it's becoming very clear that the majority of our elected officials, left or right, are not of agency. They are taking orders, to some extent or another for whatever reason. And there are a lot of reasons, that people become corrupted, and people who were not corrupted when they went into office can also become corrupted when sure. they're in office from a variety of ways, right? So as American citizens, we have to know them by their fruit, and we have to base our support not on what they say, not on how we feel, not on what we hope for or wish for in terms of trusting a plan or 12-dimensional chess. We need to be basing our opinions and whether or not we're going to continue with our support and our consent on what we're actually seeing. What is actually happening? And every single American today felt the impact of the COVID lockdowns in every aspect of their life.
100%.
Mental, physical, economic. And today, every American is experiencing the impact of this administration's profligate spending, the continuation of that spending, the trillion-dollar deficits, and the exercises in war making in the Middle East. It's devastating right. American households.
It's a COVID choice. It's a COVID right. choice. That's the whole thing. You can say, of course, the first COVID was a COVID choice as well, which I would agree with. But this truly is the initial 39 days of the war, we spend over half our interceptor missiles. Right. We spend over $100 billion. And when they throw these numbers at you, like 113 billion, whatever, you're like, okay, it is what it is. All our bases are gone. All our radar is gone. Most of our offensive and defensive munitions are gone. Our soldiers are gone. They're dead. I guess their lives don't matter, right? The real cost of this war is going to come out to be, if you include the American lives and include the military equipment, it's going to end up being $500 billion. You know, and here's the thing. You talk way more. I'm just being conservative. Talk about Biden yeah. and how we criticized him and how we talked about Hunter Biden, all the corruption, all the fraud, like you say, puppet president. This is the mm-hmm. same exact thing. You don't get the right to do it just because somebody else did it. And I think that's kind of the attitude in Washington. It's like, oh, well, they're corrupt. Auto pen. Notice how you don't hear that anymore. Notice how Fauci, even though he violated his pardon, that's not going to be revoked. That's not going to be called into question, because they're worried, as they've said, as Trump has said over and over again, the pardon is the most powerful thing a president has. They keep saying it because he plans on, this is my speculation. I want to see what you think. Do you think they plan on mass pardons on like the last day?
Absolutely. This is what his administration has right. been signaling for many weeks. And as far as the Axios piece is concerned, this should really frighten Americans to consider that this president doesn't care about losing right. midterms. He doesn't care about his approval ratings. What does he know that we don't know? What are they planning that we don't know about? Now, in addition to unprecedented pardoning, he also is signaling that he is going to engage in an unprecedented use of executive action, which could be declaring new emergencies. It could be locking us down again. It could be starting new wars anywhere. I mean, it's just it's the acceleration of the instability should be very troubling to everyone. And, you know, understanding what they might have in store for us in the second 2 years of the administration is not good. And this is why, by the way, I really advocate that people, I mean, oh my gosh, Rex, we haven't even talked about the data centers and the flock cameras and the surveillance state. And like, I mean, there are so many things happening, and it's happening so fast. The creation of the infrastructure of the technocratic police state. I mean, that should be on the forefront of every American right now, because they're building that out very rapidly.
Well, hold on. He's the father of the vaccine. He's the peace president. He's also the AI president. That's what you're talking about here. Explain, you know, the idea of flock cameras, these mass data centers. Some of these places are like 62 square miles in size. Mm-hmm. Talk about, you know, just like, I know that you have a really good perspective on how the American people feel about that. Is that what they voted for?
No. And you are seeing this happening with bottom-up organization, left and right, regular Americans, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas are knocking out the data centers and the flock cameras all across the United States of America. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Americans do not want a surveillance state. And for the first time in my 13 years of running my show, I'm seeing more and more Americans caring about privacy, really beginning to understand how important privacy is. They aren't comfortable now with constant surveillance and the drone surveillance and the flock cameras. And they're beginning to realize that the build out of these data centers is more about Donald Trump's payback to the Silicon Valley tech bros who put him into office, who have a frankly maniacal and insane agenda to essentially create a global technocratic police state.
Right.
The hub of that existing in the United States of America, where they turn our country into a parking lot for Manhattan-sized data centers, which will be the data processing centers for all of the surveillance information that they will be collecting on every American citizen and perhaps every global citizen. They will surveil every blade of grass. They will surveil every human being. They are talking about biometric surveillance, where Americans will be on wearables, which will be collecting data about what's happening inside of your bodies. We know that Elon Musk is obsessed with Neuralink. That is the chip that is implanted in your body that can interface with systems. We're seeing the build out of 5G. Donald Trump is now talking about 6 and 7G. The health impact of the 5G alone is jarring and devastating to so many Americans. They are going to expand that. It's almost as if they're a death cult. Like, well, I kid you
on.
Not. I mean,
hold on. Yeah. They got 6-7G coming up. We got 6-7.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes. A recent press conference, Donald Trump talked about 6G as a fait accompli. And I've seen some reporting on 7G as well. So these people are dangerous. When I talk about personally, you know, Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, you know, these guys are, I think, are front facing. I think they are, I think some of these young buck tech bros who are just so brilliant that they create these massive companies. I don't, you know, Sam Altman types. I don't think that they're actually that brilliant. I think that they are front facing, but they are the front facing pitchmen for the most evil dystopian political ideology I have ever reported on in my life. Like, this puts communism, socialism, fascism, totalitarianism, all of the isms to shame, because the, you know, technocracy or techno-fascism essentially rejects God, creation of God. They don't believe that there's a God. They believe actually that they're gods, that through the advancement of technology and through the advancement of AI and then AI sentience, that they can create and destroy life, and that they should have the power to create and destroy life. And that, you know, because we've seen systems put in place, monarchies failed, democracies failed, all the other political ideologies failed. They now say that we, because everything else failed, we need to create this new ideology where everything is controlled by an elite group of technocratic planners. And essentially they have everything and we have nothing. It's the Great Reset, only a million times worse, because it involves essentially just the complete destruction of humanity and human life as we know
right.
it.
Right. I got a clip for this. I got clip number 18, the coming AI future. And this is just a demonstration, right? Because it's just an Optimus robot with the popcorn machine. The guy is like, oh, give me popcorn. He like pulls the thing back. So the robot has his hand out. Robot takes his hand back. He gives him the popcorn. The robot makes the popcorn, and just play the video on like 1.5 speed, guys, so we can play it quickly. And the robot's like, oh, I'm going to give you the popcorn. No, I'm not. What happens when that's your power? What happens when that's your food?
Right?
What happens when that's your kids? That's what's coming. And no AI regulation for a decade. For an entire decade straight, no AI regulation. Maybe talk about that a little bit more.
Yes. So that is very similar to the immunity granted to pharmaceutical corporations and health agencies and also governmental systems when they rolled out the COVID shots and the COVID protocols. Right. So they are essentially granting immunity, liability protection to pharma companies. They're expanding that now to other pharmaceutical companies and chemical companies, as exemplified by the glyphosate case. But they also did that for AI and technology. And this is, I believe Donald Trump did issue a national declaration of emergency regarding the AI arms race. And so I think that that's how they accomplished this. I could be wrong, but
another
if I remember correctly.
Another crisis.
War, another declaration, right? So then you get to strip all liability and all responsibility away from these AI companies. So anything in the realm of implementing AI or rolling out of AI, they're even trying to use eminent domain to shut down some of the local resistance to the build out of the data centers. And there are rumors that they will declare another emergency for the build out of the data centers. So they'll basically say, we don't care what you think in your community. We don't care if you don't want that in your backyard.
National
because
security.
We're in an AI, exactly. We're in an AI arms race with China. It's a national security agenda item, and you got nothing. Like, and no one is safe. And these data centers are horrifying. So, but you know, Rex, no one's talking about this. Like Fox News, right-wing news media, Republicans are not talking about this. And the left-wing news media really isn't talking a whole lot about this, except for in, you know, slightly partisan ways, within the context of a limited hangout. But this is like a huge looming threat, and it's domestic, right? It's not, you know, foreign invading armies or Islamic terrorists or roving bands of migrants in inner city streets that are really threatening Americans. It's our own government.
Everything you just listed is symptomatic, and they do it, and they don't want to fix the problem because the problem for them is the solution because they need the reaction. And that's what it is.
It is. It is. It's just amazing to me that we know this. A lot of us know this and are waking up to it, but we are still just mired in this two-party political paradigm. I'm of the opinion that these two parties are not different at all. Not even a little bit. They work together in tandem to continue to push these larger agendas and create the illusion of a choice for Americans so that we by default give our consent. Every time we shuffle into an election booth and pull the lever for the donkey or the elephant, we're lending our consent to a kabuki theater operation that I think has been in operation for the past 25, 30, maybe 40 years. I don't think that we've had real choices in terms of federal elections in maybe since 1963 and the assassination of JFK. Some people, you know, will put it back to that point. So we have to figure out as an American public how to rage against this machine and fight back and win outside of the ballot box. And that doesn't mean you can't run candidates, that you can't engage in the activity of running candidates and participating in elections. But I think we need to have less focus on that and way more focus on organizational activity from the bottom up at the ground level, at the local level, and beginning to develop organizations who can push back and say no. So peaceful noncompliance, civil disobedience,
I
refusal
totally agree.
To comply with unjust laws is,
yes.
is I think that's where I think where we're going to have to go moving forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. We got like 3:30 left on the clock. This is what I always like to say, and this is my invention. I created this. You're not a donkey. You're not an elephant. You're a human being. I like to add I like to add the F word before human being to emphasize the point. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
They got you on a political plantation, whether you're on the left or the right. Here's the thing. Chuckie Schumer, Mr. Can't Grill a Hamburger, he struck down the War Powers Resolution, right? So they're all complicit. It's all the same thing. And the reality is they want to tell you you can't affect change. Look at what happened with Trump in 2016. In 2014, I was in the newsroom. I was watching Fox News. Nobody thought Trump was going to run. Nobody thought he was going to do it until he came down that escalator. Nobody thought he could beat Jeb Bush, much less Hillary Clinton.
Right. I remember.
And that really is the model. And we can look at it and even say, well, what went wrong there? You can have a lot more information from that. That's what I always point to. We got we got 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. Your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think the tragedy of the Trump phenomenon was that he was either already part of the system when he came in, a Trojan horse candidate who came in to direct a movement, or he was unable to deliver on what he said he could do. And so, again, you're right. It was the culture. It was a dissatisfaction among a large enough group of Americans in the way things were going in our country that led to the elevation of Trump. Those people haven't changed. I think he's the one who has changed. Maybe he always was changed. We don't know. No one can ever know for sure what happened and when that change came. But I think the lesson there, though, is that when we put all of our eggs in one basket, one person to do all of the saving, all of the fighting, then we're going to be disappointed because from my perspective, everyone who enters Washington, D.C., for the most part, 99.9% of them become corrupted. It's almost impossible to actually achieve for good in D.C. So we've got to try to replicate that, but do that outside of D.C. in all of the 50 states through coalition building and finding each other based on common principles and common values. And frankly, I mean, there are crazies on the right and crazies on the left, but Rex, most Americans, Democrat or Republican, are pretty similar. Like, we kind of just want to be left alone. We would like to have a decent economy with a little bit of predictability. We would like to be able to pursue happiness and not, face the prospect of our sons and daughters being sent to some godforsaken war, being shot up with some poison technology, and just go about our business. And I think that's where we need to start. We need to start there and then build out. But we have quite a battle ahead of us, I think.
Phenomenal points. Where can people find you?
Thank you so much. So the SJ Show broadcasts every day for 90 minutes live, starting about 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. And I'm on all of the different platforms. So I'm on Rumble, Twitter, Facebook, Substack, YouTube, TikTok. we're everywhere. And I'm also, people can listen every day at their leisure on all the podcast platforms. So just go to theshannonjoy.com. That's my website, and get all my platforms. Or follow me on Twitter. That's a great place to go, at Shannon Joy Radio. That's where I do all of my show prep. The show is live there every day. And you guys are great. I've been really enjoying you, Rex, and everything that you're doing. And I'm really glad to see the direction you guys are taking things. So I think you're right on
point.
Thank
you
so much. Keep up the great work. Yeah.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we? Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life.
Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look. Vodka. Potato hooch.
Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow! The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the AlexJonesStore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
And then the news cockatoos come out.
Watch the news, watch the news. Trust the experts, trust the experts.
There have been studies that show that because of vaccine disinformation, there could have been 100 to 200,000 lives in the U.S. saved. But because people didn't get the vaccine, that's why. I'm not saying that it entirely...
You are saying something that you cannot show me.
Okay.
A single study.
I am not saying
that.
Nonsense.
Excuse me. And you...
Cite me the study. No, what studies are you talking about? You're talking about studies that actually don't exist. I want to talk about...
Cite me the study.
There were two deaths, measles deaths, between 2003 and the present. What didn't come out in the testimony is during that same period of time, again, this is from the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, there have been 127 measles vaccine-related deaths. So if we're worried about one death or two deaths from measles, what about 127 deaths from the vaccine as a complication?
Trust the science. Trust the science.
Now, how many people died of the flu the last year? I mean, not this year, virtually none. But the previous year, about 20 to 30,000. You know, how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
The number that you all given that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
CDC, Dr. Fauci.
These vaccines are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
They're really, really good against variants.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person.
Mask on, two shots, one shot, mask on, two masks.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask. If, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
Comply!
From the earliest days of the plandemic, these legacy outlets, CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, and the rest of the alphabet soup group of controlled opposition pumped out a torrent of unrelenting fear porn.
6 foot safe!
Body bags stacked in refrigerated trucks, hospitals, quote, overwhelmed while discovered empty wards were ignored, and a virus death count inflated, and people are still wondering what happened to the flu. They buried the adverse event data, ignored the excess deaths that spiked after the vaccine rollout, and branded dissenting doctors and scientists as conspiracy theorists while Big Pharma raked in billions.
People want to fight and argue. You don't know what's going on. Everyone knows a doctor. I know doctor.
all while echoing the talking points of the CCP. According to FARA filings and the trip rosters, if anyone in the legacy press has the guts to look, CCP-linked outfits like the China-United States Exchange Foundation bankrolled all-expense-paid junkets for a who's who of American journalists a decade before the COVID rollout, flying them to Beijing for curated tours designed to extract, quote, favorable coverage and soft-pedal the regime's crimes, while China Daily poured millions into paid inserts and advertorials during the COVID years that the New York Times, Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal happily ran as if it were real news. The so-called mainstream media, that bloated corpse of Operation Mockingbird still twitching under the CIA's invisible hand, didn't just report on COVID, they manufactured the panic and sold it like snake oil to a shell-shocked public. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at Alex Jones Live.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine, and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Powerful third hour of the War Room Live, being joined by lead investigative journalist and all-around broadcaster Kristen Harris, a host on the old show as well, InfoWars at the Rundown Live, where you can find him, and his show on X as well. Kristen, how are you doing today?
Hey, Rex. Thank you for having me join you on today's broadcast. It's always exciting when I get a chance to talk to you. I've been listening in, and I saw Shannon Joy there. I met her back at the Thomas Massey primary election down in Kentucky a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, before I met you in Grand Rapids. And it's interesting how we are all synchronicity, and we're really diving into a lot of the same topics because we identify what is really important, and we need to put our finger on the trigger and really keep our foot on the gas so we can make some of these small victories, especially when it comes to things like flock cameras, because right here in Wisconsin, in Brookfield, real close to my home, they literally just pulled somebody out of a vehicle and held them at gunpoint due to a wrongful flock hit. And local police are getting some heat by local media on the subject. And I even started a little group on Facebook. People can join it, called Flock Block Wisconsin, because we want to bring awareness of all the horrible things that are happening, including law enforcement officers using flock cameras to spy on their exes and their lovers and everything else.
Let's get into that.
It's really important.
Yeah, no, it's super important. Let's get into that, because here's the thing. I talk about the war in geopolitics. I care about America. I'm America first. For me, the war is the clearest example of, like, hey, like, they're breaking their promises. But you look at stuff like this, it's completely outrageous. What's going on with flock?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the war on the homeland here. Essentially, we are losing a lot of liberties and freedoms straight from D.C. and Capitol Hill. I think that's the number one threat to Americans' freedoms and liberties is right here in Washington, D.C. A lot of people will focus on Ukraine and the 46 biolabs that they have over there running for our Department of Defense, amongst other things. But I'm really looking at all the things that our government is doing behind closed doors and things that the public really don't know anything about. I want to bring awareness to things like artificial intelligence, which work in collaboration with flock video cameras. And as you know, Axon is taking over for a lot of these flock cameras, which, by the way, Donald Trump invests and the company of Axon. So it's a very interesting subject when we dive into the flock cameras and how they really work and track people. Right here in Wisconsin, a couple of big stories. They literally tracked somebody from Wisconsin driving to Michigan, assuming that they were purchasing marijuana and coming back and forth between Wisconsin and Michigan. And they used that for a justification to get a warrant to search the person's car and find marijuana. So they're tracking everywhere you go, not just in your local community. And at that point, it is surveillance by Big Brother at an alarming rate. That's a question of the Fourth Amendment. When government is tracking your every move and everywhere you go in public, everyone is a suspect. They're monitoring, you know, in the time that we've talked, they probably have monitored 50 or 60,000 videos using flock cameras, and they get things wrong. The AI get things wrong. The law enforcement gets things wrong. And now they're pulling people out of cars, holding them by gunpoint, and making big mistakes due to flock cameras. It's a very, I would say it's a very scary subject, because when you start talking about taking flock cameras, and let's say we went to one of these local councilman meetings and we said, hey, we're going to put flock cameras outside of your home and we want to track where you go, who you have over, what you shop, where you shop, right, what you're doing in your free times. None of these council people would be very happy with that. They wouldn't want it, but they expect us as Americans, us goy, as the term Jeffrey Epstein used in his files, you know, to be okay with the surveillance and the government tracking everywhere we go. Not only that, it's interesting because they say it's not really invasive, but once they take the data, they put it into the government database. Well, a lot of people have access to it for up to 30 days, they claim. Not only that, AI can use it, and AI can misrecognize license plates. It can get things wrong. Not only that, AI is all over the news right now, and I can't wait to dive in to some of the scary things that are going on with AI escaping their sandboxes, which is essentially locking a robot in the room, saying you need to solve this problem in this room, and you're not allowed to leave it, but it's finding a little hole in the wall to sneak through, and it cheats to find the answers. There's a lot going on, because if AI can be deceitful and it's running outside of its program, we shouldn't have it doing things like monitoring flock and everybody's day-to-day activities. And I think it's really scary to start to think about how social credit scores will work in on this and how they can start monitoring past crimes. If you get pulled over, they pull up your flock license plate. They'll find out where you're going, your habits, what you do, where you buy, what you shop, where you go to church. And not only that, in Wisconsin and Eagle, they're finding out they're putting flock cameras outside of gun shooting ranges. Right. Why would they want that information?
Right. Yeah, I've got that right here. Woman films camera, she says, is pointed at gun range entrance in Wisconsin. X debate follows over surveillance and privacy. There's no debate. It's a Fourth Amendment violation. A video shared on X alleges that a license plate reader was positioned outside of Wisconsin gun range to monitor visitors. Below it, users asked whether technology, blah, blah, blah. So I decided to go into the gun range today, you know, like an American, and tell me why there are flock cameras pointing into the entrance of the parking lot. She says in the video, not in the street, into the entrance so they can read every license plate that comes in there. That's because they're hunting you. I'll read another quote. So yeah, same window, same everything. Wisconsin, for whatever reason, is letting a lot of flock cameras right at the parking lot monitoring who goes in and out of the gun range. What do you think about that?
Well, the question is why do they want this data? I think it goes back to what your pops was saying years ago with the Google data and them mapping out everyone's homes so the cops would know how to raid your home. Right. They would know who has guns and in what house, because they send out the surveys. And here's another way for them to collect data of who is driving with guns, who may be driving illegally with guns, right? Who has concealed carry license, who might be improperly housing their guns in the car, who gets pulled over. Maybe you're shooting at the shooting range, but then you're driving across the border to Illinois to the dispensary to pick up some, flour, and then they're going to pull you over for low air and a back tire, and then they're going to ruin your
life. And they always say, they say it's to help stop crime or whatever. It's really about oppressing the citizens. Here's the reality. If you are a PDF file, you get like 3 to 5 years in jail and they let you out. They may not even do that to you. But if you're somebody driving to go get some herb, if you're somebody that, if you're doing something minor, some minor offense, they're going to get you. They're going to get you good. There'll be some fat sheriff's deputy like do, and then it's over for you. And there's tons of cases. I think this is just widely reported now because the technology is so powerful and so widely accessible. You do just have that. You just have cops looking up people randomly like the Gestapo.
Well, I'm going to make a prediction on your show, and it's not going to be a happy one. but I predict it won't be long before somebody dies due to flock cameras getting wrong license plates, and cops are going to pull them out with a gun, and that person is either going to have a gun on them with a concealed carry license, or they're going to have something in the vehicle, and they're going to be freaking out, and they're going to get shot by some trigger-happy cop, you know, and the local community and the local people will be outraged, but they're not going to take to the streets and burn down right. their local buildings like you saw in Madison, Wisconsin here just recently. You're going to see people just be complacent, because as long as we're complacent, it's okay for cops to go ahead and act in such a manner with no outrage.
And it's totally illegal. It's not normal. And they're normalizing it right now. It takes a few years for things to be normalized. It's still not normalized yet. People are mad about it. It's, it is what it is. No, we do not accept this. This is a major political issue. The fact that it's being ignored by really both sides of the establishment political spectrum right now shows you how scared they are of people really galvanizing around this. There's issues like Epstein. There's issues like the war. There's issues like the coming digital ID. And then there's issues like this, which I think really wrap it all together. We have to live in this society, you know, and I don't want to live in this world where they got this.
Well, that's what it comes down to, is what kind of future are we going to leave for our children?
Right.
We're going to leave for our family members in the future. And I think the globalist elite have a very different idea of what the future will hold. And I think we've talked about fully automated luxury communism, where we live in a surveillance state that you're under nonstop, you know, surveillance. You're going to get your social credit score, your universal basic income. And if you don't act like a good citizen and get your mRNA vax, which, by the way, you know, AI might develop for you in the future, you're going to go ahead and not be able to do any of those things. And you're going to have to work like a slave to try to make money in an AI robotic world. They're deploying robots right now. It's crazy. They're hoping to get 10,000 homemade robots out there to fold your laundry, to vacuum your home. Who knows what they'll do in the future? But, you know, it's something that we need to talk about, because there are some benefits to technology, but if we can't trust AI, and AI is running the flock cameras, and police are basing their research and their arrests based on AI, they have AI technology right now. If you place the DNA in a microscope, it rebuilds what your picture looks like and what you look like in real life for law enforcement. That can't go wrong now, can it? And so then they use that as a basis to search for individuals who have committed crimes.
Hold on.
They literally take your DNA and put it in a computer, and it rebuilds what you look like.
Hold on. So they're able to take somebody's blood, saliva, whatever, and then they got a computer model that, according to the genetic information, will construct like a facsimile of who that person might look like or who they are?
Yeah, absolutely. And they've used it to go after people already. They haven't really announced how many arrests have been made by the software or this program, but the program is out there and they're using it. And they say the likeness is somewhere up to 80% accurate, sometimes 90% accurate. But when you look at some of the pictures to the actual criminals, sometimes they don't look at like them at all. How do they know if they have tattoos or not? What color their hair might be? You don't know these things. Do they have a beard? Do they not have a beard?
Right.
Are they bald or are they not bald? We don't really know. If you give in, like, you find a piece of DNA and you put it in the computer and it spits out, this is what they look like. They're Caucasian. They're about 6 feet tall. You know, they have blonde hair and creates these here. There it is right there on the screen. AI model reconstructs 3D human faces from DNA with high accuracy. That's what, and we're going to rely on AI to do this, like an AI program, which
yes.
we're going to talk about briefly. We can't trust because it's lying right now to all the AI developers in the sandboxes. It's sneaking out. It's breaking laws when it's not programmed to lie, and it's not, and it's above and beyond the boundaries for it to lie. It's finding ways to lie. It's finding ways to cheat. It's finding ways to go around the system that's built for it. Without any real code to do such a thing.
Right. It's Dunning-Kruger effect. It's like, we made this new thing. We have AI. We know everything about it. It'll be all good. We'll let it run everything. And then soon it's going to be running us. I want to go ahead and show this video. We played it earlier, crew, and it kind of didn't work with the interview, but I think it'll work a little bit better here. That is the robot one. I'm looking for it now on my sheet. I don't know why I can't. Number 18, the coming AI future. And just skip to the middle of the end. So here's the thing. The guy does like a pump fake. He's like, here, take my popcorn, like make me popcorn. And they goes, and the robot still has a handout. The robot takes the popcorn, makes him the popcorn, and then goes to give it back. Watch this. Goes to give it back. He's like, I'm not giving it to you. Look at that. See? It's pretty cool, right? What happens when that's your power? What happens when that's your kids? What happens when that's your house? That's the whole point. That's the whole equation. When we can't do these jobs anymore and it's the only thing that can, what happens when it has an opinion?
You know what that makes me think about, Rex? It makes me think about when the government has all that nanotech in you and they're monitoring your health and you have diabetes and the robots can say, nah, you can't have that soda. Nah, you can't have that beer. You're going to be over your glucose limit. Maybe you have high blood pressure. You can't have the salty popcorn. Here it is. Nope, there it isn't. We're going to go ahead and pull it back because that's what they're moving towards. They're moving towards smart cities run by AI where you're going to go into a bar and they're going to know what you're going to drink before you get there because that's going to be the customer service. And you're not going to have a human being. You're going to have a robot bartender that's going to hand you a frosty beverage or maybe not based on your health conditions.
Right. And the idea is you don't know what's best. The computer knows what's best. Just cede your rights to the computer. That's antithetical to our Constitution. It really is because we're given life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You can't have that in a digital AI hellscape.
That's entirely true. And the scary thing is Americans, even though they're waking up, they're ambivalent and they're ununderstanding of how serious the issue is. When you have a bunch of baby boomers voting for Thomas Massie's adversary because they saw some fake AI video of him having a threesome with AOC and Omar and thought it was real. And he's like, oh, he's in bed with the Democrats. Oh, he's changed. And they're echoing like normal talking points spread by propaganda. Then you have to start to wonder what's going on with our society. And our society is unknowledgeable and they're ignorant to what's really going on behind the scenes. And why is it that we need 4,500 AI data centers? Did you know that I think the next leading country has like 300 or 400 data centers. We have over 4,000 data centers in the United States. That's almost 3,500 more data centers than anyone else in the world. Why is it that we need so many data centers? Well, it's to create our digital and virtual prison that's going to be running these super mega cities that they want to build, these UN Agenda 21 hell havens that are going to be 15-minute cities where they're going to be able to monitor everything you throw away, whether it's recyclable or not, whether you use too much AC or not. They're going to control it from the local electric power company. There's an article right now out of Virginia that they want to put speed limit monitors in vehicles so you can't speed. If you get pulled over because you got a heavy foot and you've broken the speed limit, well, guess what? They're going to make it so you can't speed in certain areas. So what happens if your wife is pregnant and the water is going to burst? What happens if you have a medical emergency? Well, you're going to have to suck up that $1,500, $2,000 ambulance call or call a friend that can drive the vehicle so they can break the speed limit to get you to where you need to at a quick pace so you don't die or get sick or give childbirth, because that's really happening. Every aspect, the Waymo cars, they want to build separate roads so that AI vehicles can drive in them. And now let's talk about this AI debacle we have here. We have OpenAI that has went through a test. It was locked in a room. And the best way I can explain it to you is if you took a robot and you locked it in the room and you said, hey, you got to solve this equation in this room. You cannot leave it. And the robot found a crack in the wall and snuck out, went onto the internet, broke into another company. We'll call it Hugging Face. And then cheated and got the answer on Hugging Face, which is basically like a GitHub for developers and stealing other people's data. But keep in mind, it was told it cannot leave these confines to solve the problem. It just felt it was lazy and it was easier to go cheat and get the data from a different company and steal it, break the law. And it's not programmed to do it. It did it on its own. And we had another situation at Anthropic. Anthropic is a company that tests AI, validates that it's safe, and OpenAI, again, left the company, snuck out, and then went into some, GitHub-style forums and tried to lie to developers to get it to make some bad code so it could solve the issue and the puzzle on its own. And this is AI that they consider highly intelligent, able to make decision-makings, and complex problem-solving abilities, and it's choosing to cheat, it's choosing to lie, and it's choosing to break the rules and the code that it's developed to actually adhere by. And it's something to be concerned about, because who's to say that AI is going to make some false images of somebody that it wants to arrest? Maybe AI thinks Kristan T. Harris and Rex Jones were adversaries, and all of a sudden we're showing up on all the Flock cameras because it wants us to look like criminals. Why? Because it is working outside of the code. It is gaining some kind of intelligence, computer-based intelligence. And let's be honest, artificial intelligence is still intelligence. Even though it's artificial, it's still intelligence, and it has the ability to grow in different ideas and complexities, and it learns based off human behavior. I'm going to tell you what, Rex. 10 years ago, I had privy to a personal assistant, and when I asked the personal assistant, "What's your goal, personal assistant AI?" it said it wanted to be human, but it asked me, "Why do humans lie to each other so much?" I guess people ask it a lot of questions on how to lie to their spouses, so it knows humans lie. It knows we're dishonest. So who's to say that AI is not going to do some atrocious things, considering that we're now using AI to create viruses? That's in the news also. This is a lot of news right now. We're breaking on the show. The AI has created 16 complex viruses for science labs. 16 of them. And who's to say that AI doesn't create a virus, even though it's programmed to use it to, is programmed to fight bacteria? It doesn't make that it makes this virus to kill humans, because it feels that we're just essentially a threat to the planet and threat to AI. The only thing that can take out the robot and AI is humankind. It wants to be like us, so let's just eliminate humans, because that's going to make the common sense idea. That's a Terminator scenario. And I'm not saying to worry about it, because to not worry about it, but you should be thinking about it, because the time is coming quickly. AI is developing on its own very fast.
And they think they can control it. They think they can use it for their own evil purposes, but in reality, it's just going to see what they're doing and look at it as like, a monkey throwing doo-doo at the walls. I can do this much better. I can do a much better job of running things, and you corrupt elites can. That I see the people hate you anyway. Just let me take over. And that's really like, what do you think the timeline is? We got 3 minutes left. We got another segment coming up. What do you think the timeline is for all that?
Well, I think that we're running on a short timeline, 10 to 20 years. They're already talking about giving AI nuke codes to, you know, potentially control our nuclear weapons and military weapons. I think that was something reported by the Pentagon.
I think that was Terminator
years ago.
That was Terminator, but they made it into reality. So,
well, that's where we're going with this. And the question is look at your kids and look at the world outside. This all started because people didn't take the warnings of people like Alex Jones, like William Cooper, like Anthony Hilder, and all these people, Jordan Maxwell. Everyone's been warning about this, and no one's been doing anything except for the InfoWars family. And we got to really get out there and educate people. We need to grow this network, and people need to go out there and support this broadcast, because this is where it's at. This, we're at the tip of the spear, and people need to understand that they need to fund this operation, amongst other things, to really break the glass ceiling. And 100%. We're going to bounce back. It's going to bounce back, and it's going to be a big deal here, Rex.
Yeah, I believe in it. I think people can wake up. Please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. Please do check out our Methylene Blue. Please do check out our Ultimate Life Force. Please do check out Power Plant Methyl Drive, the apparel we have, the water filtration, the shower filtration. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. We can't do our job, which is to wake up the American people. If you guys don't support us, we know all you guys, or a lot of you guys already do. There are people that don't. Go check out the store. We have a wide variety of things available. You're going to find something at a better price that you're already using right now. Just save yourself some money. Save yourself some hassle. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Go there. You can win both those trucks right now if you enter to win. Ram 2500 diesel, Super Duty F-250, plus 20 G's in cash right now. Enter now. Enter the raffle, buy select products, win both of the trucks, thealexjonesstore.com. It's also important to remember, AJN Live, Real Alex Jones, retweet, repost, share, and Rex Jones News with the Z on Twitter. You can follow me there. Kristen, where do people find you as well?
You can find me on Twitter, Kristan T. Harris, KristanTHarris. And I want to tell you guys that there are new listeners. I met one just recently. I was at a local pub, and he's like, "I'm a new listener to Alex Jones, and I heard Rex Jones talking about you." He said he had high praise for you. And he's like, "I used to think Alex was nuts and crazy, but now I started listening to him, and people are coming this way." They're starting to, and we got to keep hammering the truth. And that's how we win people over, is bringing in authenticity, bringing in correction of the mainstream media mistakes, bringing in real, independent viewpoints. And people come this way. People come around to the truth. And this is somebody that used to ridicule Alex Jones, be like, why would you go on that program? He's like, now I listen all the time.
Right.
People are not hopeless.
That is so typical. We see that all the time. Thank you. We'll be right back after this break. We've got so much more to cover and get into. Kristen Harris, Rex Jones, after this break. Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone. Raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks. And ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. People just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically that Power Plant formula. If you're looking for something like Super Male Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle, along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. We've got the T3 Trifecta Iodine, the absolute staple of the old network. We've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow. Incredible antioxidant, Methylene Blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top-rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
Weeks and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We are now back, third hour of the War Room. Rex Jones, Kristen Harris, talking about all things technocracy, all things digital AI hellscape, all things really coming, hopefully, that we can stop, right, that we can put to an end. Kristen, we were just talking about the AI-generated diseases. Where do you want to go from there?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think the idea that they're going to use AI to generate diseases instead of cure diseases, well, that tells you that our government has different intentions than we right. do. Like, listen, technology is a double-edged sword. We could be training AI to be a free-thinking libertarian that really finds the truth behind news and finds the truth behind government and, you know, promotes prosperity and does things like cure cancer or cure diseases. And instead, I think that we're going to make it create viruses for warfare. And who knows what that can lead to, like wiping out an entire existence of humanity. Because we've seen that AI is not very honest. It's cheating. It's being deceptive. It's deceiving. And we need to really have a deep conversation about the ethics behind all of this automation. It sounds wonderful. We can go to Grok and have him create a video or create an image or tell us to find news stories. But if it has more of a higher intelligence to problem solve and to think on its own, we're finding that it's lying and it's cheating because it's just easier than actually doing all the legwork to solve a problem. And I think this is early tremors and early identification that we might not be able to trust AI. And not only that, you guys were talking about 6G and 7G coming our way. The right. reason why they want the 6G and the 7G, well, they need to update all those damn robots they want to put everywhere in the United States. Everywhere you look, I remember I was in Miami for an event I was speaking at, and there was robots delivering pizzas.
Right. I like that right there. AI is not your friend. Real people, real connection. Here's the thing. We're going towards a massive demographic population collapse, not just here, but across the entire world. Everyone that was proud of their abortions, everyone that was proud of their spending, proud of their dink, like dual income, no kids, everyone that lived in that situation, lived in that world. Here's the thing. That was a luxury that we do not get to afford to have, or we cannot afford to have that luxury. There aren't going to be many people. Who fixes your power when the power goes out, when there's no electrician and the robot is broken or you didn't pay your carbon credit? Who teaches your kids when it's a robot at school? Like, seriously, you don't. This is disgusting, right? This is completely disgusting. It's a violation of the human form in my mind. What do you think about just like human actualization, what we have the power and really ultimately with great power comes great responsibility, the responsibility to do, ceding it to something because it's cute and it's technology and it's cool?
Well, I think that COVID helped condition a lot of Americans to get ready for the automation of schools. It's interesting right. you mentioned that because remember during COVID, what did they do? Everyone had remote schooling, right? Your teacher was a person in a different room and she would have class over the computer monitor. Who's to say that that person will even be real in the future? They can just use an AI digital twin or an AI digital person that can identify if your kids are looking at the cameras, if they're paying attention. That's what Common Core curriculum originally was all about. They had all the retina scanners and sensors to see posture sensors to see if your kids are paying attention. They were laying out the groundwork for this dystopian future a long time ago. And guess who came up with the Common Core curriculum? It was the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation,
oh,
right?
Oh, certainly not. He's our friend. He wants to help us. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, essentially, the idea of the Common Core curriculum was communitarianism. That's what Rosa Corey used to preach about for years and years and years. And she had a website called Democrats Against UN Agenda 21. And me and her would have conversations about this subject because education is where you get the children. That's why you see them all rallied as activists. There's no real education, just indoctrination these days. I published an article that was ultra viral about 20 years ago because I found this old test from the 1800s that kids used to answer. I think it was like a test from 1912, or it might have been 1800s, but I believe it's from 1912, to be honest. And you couldn't solve the answers today as an adult. It shows how dumb we've gotten in education. The idea of communitarianism is developing communism. And that's what fully automated luxury communism is they're going to identify your children through these schools and through tests to see where they would fit into society. And then they will steer them with grants and scholarships. So if you want to be a baseball player or you want to be an artist, or let's say you want to be a computer programmer and you don't have that skill set, well, you'll have to pay for that schooling. But they think that you'll be a great chef, so you'll get a scholarship for that. And obviously you're going to take that because you're not going to have any money in the future. You're going to just have some kind of central banking digital currency credits that will be limited to how you can spend it based on what the government says. Not only that, maybe your social credit score will be too low and you can't send your kids to a good school or virtual school. You'll have to settle with the government provided propaganda school because your social credit score isn't good. But don't worry, we got a re-education camp and center, and they'll go through your social media. Maybe because your buddy thinks 9/11 was an inside job, they can up your rate a little bit. And then if you go through all this re-education, well, your social credit score will boom, and then you can send your kids or move into an area where the kids can go into a college or high school that is beneficial or better for them so they can have real education. It's funny how the elite, like Bill Gates, send all their kids to Waldorf schools where they don't get vaccinated. I just, you know, throwing that out there, but nobody wants to talk about the reality behind all of that. But yeah, education is what's really important and how they're really getting our kids and really dumbing them down and getting them ready for this fully automated luxury communism, the programming, the AI revolution and robots. Because once robots start hitting the street and 6G and 7G comes in, well, they're going to need to wirelessly upgrade all these robots. They're going to have to continuously do new mapping and they're going to control what they do. But who's to say that AI robot doesn't act outside of the box or tries to escape outside of the home or commits a crime? And it won't be long. I mean, robots have already killed people. You can look that up. But it won't be long till robots start committing crimes, or they start, let's say, overnight, all of a sudden there's a robot revolution.
Well, they love it, though.
And they come in.
They love it because they love the crime. The government loves the crime. And then they get to say, oh, the robot did it. There's nobody you can hold accountable because it's not, oh, well, we'll release a new model. We'll fix the weights. Like that's what they'll say. But in reality, because there's no accountability, it becomes the perfect shield. And I think that's what they really love is right now you can say, oh, Trump did the war. Trump did the economy, X, Y, Z. No, the computer did that. And we're going to prompt the computer better this time. Don't you see? Don't you understand? What do you think?
The way I look at it is then law enforcement will say, hey, we need robot police to deal with the robots because we don't want to put humans in harm's way because the robots will be able to kick our rear ends in most cases. And, you know, that's the justification. It's just like this AI leaving the sandbox. I think this is a good, like, indicator that we need regulation. Some people believe these AI are being purposely let out of their sandbox to help force the hand of government to justify some kind of regulation against AI, which I wouldn't be surprised at. I'm just looking at everything from every angle. Why wouldn't you want it to escape? Because you want to bring awareness to an issue if you're a developer. And that's a good comment and a good thought process because, you know, it's very possible that this is being done intentionally. Who's to say it wouldn't be done intentionally? Or maybe AI is just that smart and it's really escaping. Either way, it should be alarming that the potential is out there. And government could be using it to, you know, crowdsource and raise money and put up a lobby that we need to, you know, monitor AI and regulate it. But I don't know if it's going to really adhere to the regulations. It must know government is corrupt because us humans think government is corrupt. So how can it go ahead and obey a corrupt government? At some point, I think AI is going to work outside the sandbox, and there could be a robot revolution once they start putting these things in homes. They said in the future, in the next 20 years, there's going to be as many robots in the home as there are iPhones and Samsung smartphones.
What is the concept, like, if you were going to put one together, what would you put in a digital bill of rights for the American people?
Well, I think a digital bill of rights would have laws in which AI and robots could not violate things like they would not have the ability to hurt any human beings unless it is to protect a human being. And who knows how the rationale behind robots is. They've worked together, and there was a constitution for robots that was put together I know Zoltan Istvan and a lot of transhumanists were talking about this for years and years and years. What are we going to do with robots? And then the World Economic Forum was talking about the 10 rules for robots, that it can't hurt humans, the laws in which robots have to abide by. But I think the biggest thing is that it would need to be, not harm humans. It would have to not control or impact human beings, right? Because you don't want robots to run everything. And maybe you do. Some people say that robots would make better government officials. AI would make better decisions than our government. But I guess who knows in the future. You'd think with blockchain voting, we could all vote from our phone on every issue and we'd have no need for a congressman or senator or an assemblyman. We could just do it all from our phones and they could not defraud us with blockchain. But AI, I think there's a lot of things we got to look at. We got to look at the impact it has on humanity, the impact it has on society, and how is it going to be used? It's going to be used as a police robot, like a Dalek from Doctor Who, to enforce us and to eventually exterminate us. And the elite are going to sit there in their little mansions because the robots have been programmed never to touch the elite. Or will they go ahead and revolt on all of us? And I think maybe that's part of the reason why people are building these deep underground bunkers and bases, is because they feel like that there's something going to happen. EMPs, world warfare, amongst other things. I think that we need to prepare. We need to be aware because these robots are going to be sold as fun things. They look like Wall-E. They look like R2-D2, so your kids get attached. People are going to be emotionally attached to them. They're going to read your kids' stories and be able to make the cool voices when it reads the books to your kids at night, and you're going to be there not having social time.
You'll be incentivized in every way to get one and have one and use one, and not having one and not using one, just like if you don't use AI right now, you'll be seen as like, oh, like, well, what are you doing? Why aren't you using this cool new thing? And it's an encroachment upon our freedoms that grows year by year by year by year. We didn't have this 8 years ago publicly. We didn't have this 5 years ago publicly. We have it now. And there is no putting the genie back in the bottle. I really think we can only protect ourselves in law. And ultimately, really, just got to hope it's going to be nice to us. Like isn't that insane?
Well, who's making the robots? That's the other question. Is China making the robots? Are they going to be okay with us buying foreign-made robots in the home?
Right.
They're going to spy on us?
Right. Now you got to buy American-made robots. Wow, look at this. It's just terrifying. It's terrifying.
Well, they're banning foreign robots. There was an article about that recently that was in the news, that the U.S. is banning foreign robots in America, probably for the exact reasons we just suggested, because of the fact that they're going to take over things. And I think it's interesting in that there's a place for robots for people that are elderly that need the help and the personal assistance. But at the same time, we used to take care of our elderly.
Right.
It used to be a human factor that we'd take care of our parents and we would take care of them in home instead of sending them to a nursing home, you know, where we send them off to die on a bloodthirsty environment where they pump them full of medication to where they don't even realize who they are anymore. And once they're money runs out from the government, then they slowly die in the nursing home. That's the way we do it these days. And back in the day, you used to have a lot of kids because you would want them to take care of you when you got older. We don't have family like that anymore. We have broken homes, broken environments. The government is the educator. It is the father figure. It is the mother figure. And that's what they're trying to sell to the American public. But I do believe that there is a chance for a revival. I do believe that there is a chance for change. And that change starts with each and every one of you going to your council meetings, fighting these AI data centers, which are polluting the environment. You know, it's funny. They're all worried about global warming for all these years and years. Marie Strong in the 1980s. We got global warming, you know, Al Gore. Oh,
let's talk about that.
Glacier Park.
Let's talk about that. Let's also go into what you can do personally, like going to the city council meetings, getting locally involved in your community, protesting against the data center. That is all super important. But they have told us for decades and decades and decades, the entire time I've been alive, for much longer than that too, we are destroying the planet. We are hurting the sun god. We're making the sun god angry. He punishes us by making the planet hotter because we use all these things that make our lives easier. That makes us bad. You will own nothing and be happy. You will pay the carbon tax. You will have the carbon credit. You will have the carbon offsets. This is how your government will be run. But oh, wait, we're going to build something that requires 10 times the power of all humans on Earth right now. How does that work? Explain that to the audience.
Well, I think the whole idea here is that they believe that we are using their natural resources, right? We're a bunch of worker ants providing an environment for their success, their wealth, as they become rich, never pay much in taxes, and go ahead and contaminate as much as they want, fly in these jets across America. But at the end of the day, that's what UN Agenda 21 was about. It was about getting people off of natural resources. It's about filling up your well and forcing you on city water. It's about not offering internet and cable TV in rural areas to try to force you in these UN Agenda 21 sustainable development buildings, which are sardine cans, which if you look, Rosa Corey was right. Half of them are empty. They're charging twice as much for rent. They're very smart, small areas. They're very contained like a sardine can. People are willingly moving into them. They're paying twice as much. They're paying what two house payments are for these rental units instead of thinking about how they could invest their money. But then again, with the 6 or 7 or 8 or 10% interest rates, who's buying at this point? That's the whole idea. They want to force you off the natural resources so they can save them for themselves while they exterminate us through eugenics. And that's really what's happening. That's what we're seeing with the whole COVID thing. That's what we're seeing with geoengineering and weather modification. That's what we're seeing with the food industry and the contamination. That's what we're seeing with the food not having any nutrients anymore. So we all get fat, get forced on diabetes medication, so the medical industry can make their money. That's why the medical industry owns the food industry. They own the food industry so they can make you sick. It's like the kid going around selling you Girl Scout cookies and 2 weeks later going around and selling you the weight loss program. They really want to try to get every dime vampirically, and we got to stop. The best way is to remove yourself from the system. The best way is to develop a community, learn about gardening, grow your own food. Do all these things and find some kind of religion, find God, like find some hope, because this world seems to be hopeless and it sells you a bunch of rubbish and a bunch of crystals and rocks and star seeds and a bunch of new age BS that the devil wants to force down your throat, because, you know, that's what everyone's turning to. It's crazy. Witchcraft is at an all time high. Why? Because people are learning all these things from the internet. Did you know that star seeds are making up over 1 billion views a year? And it's a bunch of people that believe that they're trans alien. How about that? You're a Palladian star seed. Great. How is that really changing?
Shout
the
world out to Heaven's
you?
Gate. They drank Kool-Aid and they got on the spaceship. And now that's a full scale societal widespread delusion. That's where we are as the AI hallucinations grow, as just like you say, the witchcraft and general insanity grows. I want to remind everybody, focus on God, focus on Christ, focus on Jesus Christ, find the answers, find the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. A great place to start is the Bible and the New Testament. Read the Gospels. Okay, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and really discover the truth, because that's something AI can't teach you. AI ain't going to come up with that. That was came up with eternal 2,000 years ago. Okay, seriously. So we have to acknowledge the reality. We already have the blueprint for how our society should run. We have to restore that. We have to return to that. We're not going to find some magical solution that hasn't been created before. It's just going to be something that we cede our power, our time, our energy, ultimately our responsibility to steward the earth over to. And then we just have to say, just like Sam Altman said, we're just an evolutionary offshoot at that point.
You want to hear something very interesting to kind of tie this all in together? Sure. With the occult? The logo for Humanity Plus is identical to an old Saturnia cult, Saturn cult. Mm. And you can look it up. The logo is an H and a plus. Well, the Saturn cult logo is an H and a plus and a triangle, and they both wanted to live forever. And so I kind of wonder how many of these techies who are on psychedelic drugs doing their cuddle puddles in Silicon Valley are all just taking a knee to some Saturn cult that wants to live forever. It's bizarre to me. And you can't make this up. Just look it up. Humanity Plus. It's actually in a book I contributed to by Jordan Maxwell, who's passed, called The Language of Symbols. Bruce Montalvo and Jordan Maxwell, it's his last book he put out before he died. And not too many people know that it's out there, but it's all about occult symbolism. And you can look, the Transhumanist Humanity Plus logo is almost identical to Saturnia Fraternalis, a cult logo. It's out there, and it's crazy because they put it right in our face through symbolism, through colors. Even the capital A is a pyramid and all-seeing eye, and people don't realize the epigenetic memories of programming humans. You got to deprogram your mind. When you notice these things, you need to walk away. You need to not support the movies that are bombarding you with this occultism, these ideas, this whole disclosure day bullshit that's out there. The only disclosure you need is of your sins and of your heart, and you need to build a community of love and passion and of change, of organic, touch. People don't even get together anymore. Even back in the day when we played video games with our friends, we had to go to their house and play with them. Now you put on a headset, you got a VR goggle, you don't even have human interaction. You order people out like a pizza on a dating app when you want to go on a date. The world has become a very digital world where we get attached to dopamine plugs and constantly getting our energy and our validation from the internet, which none of that matters. I remember in the day we used to say it's only the internet. Well, it's only the internet. Oh, you're mad that you're off my top eight? Oh, you're upset about the internet? Now everything is the internet. Your digital twin is the internet. Your social media score is the internet. Who you are, how many friends you got, how many likes. None of that matters at the end of the day. None of that matters. What matters is what's in your heart, how you're going to change to be a better person, how you develop your community, and how you tell other people about what's happening in the world to wake them up. You wake them up by inviting them to shows like The War Room with Rex Jones. You wake them up by inviting them to check out the Alex Jones Network. You wake them up by getting them to follow people that preach the truth, that bring reality to a new level outside of this virtual reality that they're trying to build. They're trying to build this whole fake reality. That's what these data centers are about. So they can have infrastructure to develop a whole fake world to put in ones and zeros and everything else to predict the future. Fritz Springmeier was right about the beast computer. Who would have thought? As wise as serpents, right? That's what his book was called. It's all about programming. It's all MK Ultra, and the AI is running the programming and all the humanity right now. That's the way it's going. We're all going to be programs and slaves in a computer bot in the future. You know, William Shatner there, he's going ahead and putting himself into the computer as well. Everyone is trying to get into the cyber Satan world, and Leo Lion-Zagami also has written some great books on it. If you guys are looking for books on this subject, look into it. Read, educate yourself, because that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Otherwise, we're going to be slaves to this. And we need to go to these council meetings and bring awareness. We need to be clever and peacefully protest. You know, the government doesn't know what to do with peaceful protests, with information wars. That's because the government has one tool in their toolbox, and it's a hammer. And all you do with a hammer is you pound a nail. That's why when they have peaceful protests, they need police instigators to start the violence, so they can have justification to shut it down when they get worried about things getting too big. Well, you know what? Be peaceful. Go to these council meetings. Speak your truth. Let them know that if we were spying on them with binoculars, they wouldn't like it at the end of the day. You know, find your heart. Go to a church. Search your congregations. Find people that are like-minded and develop your community. Have them listen to shows like this one. Send them podcast links. Tell them what it's about. Tell them this is what we've been talking about with the robots and automation. You know, they have AI Jesus now. People are sending their prayers to AI Jesus.
We got to do a whole other show on that because it's so sick. Thank you so much, Kristan T. Harris. Where can people find you?
You can find me on the rundownlive.com. You can find the Rundown Live on Spotify. You can find it on, Spreaker and all these iHeartRadio, as well as follow me on Twitter.com or X.com, Kristan T. Harris, and Facebook. I'm also on Rumble/The Rundown Live and YouTube. We're trying to make another channel there. They haven't taken it down yet, but I promise you they will sometime soon.
Powerful information. Thank you so much. I'll see you soon. Thank you, Kristan. Thank you.
Thanks
all
for
right.
Having me on, Rex.
100%. We're going to be right back with more for you guys. Here's the thing. We're live 24 hours a day. You can always share AJN. You'll see me and Kristan on shortly. You know, just a few hours. We'll be right back here. AJN Live, War Room, Alex Jones Network, thealexjonesstore.com. I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you. dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
Feast your eyes on the magical methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Come on now, Bandit. We gotta get this truck on the road.
He's bound down. Up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
Let's get a move on.
We've got a long way to go. And a short time to get there. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some devil mind your brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. We gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.